morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yeah. Phone number 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Ozzy's going to do a review of the mini-series, The Ten Commandments. We also have David Alan Greer, DAG, my main man, is coming in, and the author of the Barbara Streisand book is going to be with us today. Filling in on news, Deaf Frat Guy.
What's up, bro? I'm really stoked to be here. Man, you really stepped up to the plate.
It's good to see you, Maverick. Deaf Frat Guy contributes to the show, and we were talking yesterday, well, who's going to do the news today? And we sort of ran out of chicks, and we thought, well, why not Deaf Frat Guy?
Well, the suits, yeah, the suits like a female presence, of course, and it is nice, you know, for the likes of us to have a lovely lady, but, you know, of course, Maverick's looking for a gig. You know, he's graduating in a couple months. He's been auditioning a number of roles for us, and, you know, at least he gets his feet wet with the news.
50-year senior over at USC, a teak, right? Teak house?
Yeah, bro, I'm in the teak house. I really need a job, dude. Look, sorry about the sausage party, but it is the way it has to be.
Well, I understand it's a sausage fest in here, but I figure if we go with Maverick, we'll attract more women. So initially, we'll take a little hit.
Right.
You know, but then, oh, this is him in it. Oh, this just, he's not singing
hottest,
on this
one. He knows where the hottest four ways and six way keggers are on the USC campus.
Yeah. All right, so do you have some questions, by the way? Because
we should get to know him. Everybody does.
We know. So we have a sort of a cursory knowledge of him, but I don't know if we know everything about Deaf Frat. I just know he's a 50-year senior.
Well, I don't know if he classifies as a celebrity, but, you know, everybody, you know, the way to get to know any celebrity these days is to open a magazine and find that American Express My Life, My Card questionnaire thing that they've written out their answers in pen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you find them with Ken Watanabe and people like that.
Yeah.
You know, filling those things out.
Yeah, so pretentious.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah. You know, what an actor. Forget about director. M. Night, what a fantastic actor. Every time I see one of those M. Night Shyamalan movies, I'm like, what's that weird Muslim guy doing working at the ranger station in the middle of Virginia? And then later on, you see the credits, guard number two, M. Night Shyamalan. And you're like, don't stuff your ass into this movie. I just hope this guy doesn't make his history pick, you know, 17th century Elizabethan. There's M. Night wearing his powdered wig. Very distracting.
As George Washington.
Yes.
M. Night. So, the American Express My Life, My Card questionnaire. Mm-hmm. Let's go down the list and ask it to Mav here.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right, because we know by Maverick, so let's get the... What's your name? My name, Deaf Rat Guy.
My name is Jason, but the guys in the house call me Maverick.
Okay, easy enough.
Why do they? Is it a Top Gun thing, or...
I don't want to spoil it, but Top Gun was my favorite movie.
Still is. I like staying with it. I like that.
Childhood ambition.
To be a Top Gun.
Wow, so there's a theme emerging here.
Have you explored that as a career option?
They say it probably is not likely because of my hearing.
Well, it's interesting. You hear a lot of guys who have to go from pilot to navigator because they have less than 20/20 vision, but you never hear about the hearing impaired pilots.
Mm. Well, so this is your second career then.
I guess you're not hearing about it now either. Ironically. Yeah, this could be your second career doing news on our show.
Hell yeah, bro.
All right, Mav. Fondest memory. And, you know, he isn't a celebrity ace, so, you know, he doesn't know how to answer these as pretentiously as possible. So maybe if you can chime in and, you know, steer him in the right direction.
I'll help him out, but I would argue he is going to be a celebrity around the teak house when he returns.
That's true.
A triumphant victor today about 11 o'clock back to the SC campus.
The tried out schniz that is going to be thrown your way as a result of this.
My fondest memory was spring break my sophomore year when we went down to Panama City with the tri-down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Down to Florida.
It's too bad you don't get to know that we're playing Top Gun right now. We're playing some music from Kenny Loggins. Maverick. If you could hear it, it would get you even more in the mood.
I can feel the bass a little bit.
Oh, you can. Cool.
Hmm. Turn up just a little so Mav can enjoy the bass for a second. When they do this stuff, does anyone raise their hand and go, Jesus, you know what, fellas, in 8 years this is going to sound like fried ass. Like, somebody must have an inkling. You know what I mean? Like, the Allman Brothers didn't have to worry about that. But when you're doing this kind of crap, don't you, someone have to raise their hand and go, we're going to take a hellacious beating in the next 10 to 20 years over this? I mean, the same time, you know, whenever you're going for a crazy look, you know, whether you're a hair band or whether you're just a new wave romantic, you know, and you're wearing scarves and blouses and eyeshadow, at some point, don't you have to catch yourself and go, man, I'm going to catch a beating for this?
Well, I would contend that the mistake was made several weeks prior to the release of this song when they decided, hey, let's get Kenny Loggins to sing a rockin' theme song for our movie.
Yes. I would argue that this movie is the most expensive gay porn ever made.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Now,
Broken Arrow, number two, by the way.
speaking of music and Face Off, number three, leads to the next question. There's a little bit of a touchy area, but soundtrack, that frat guy. It's a little weird to ask soundtrack.
Yeah.
It is a tough one. I like the bass part and We Will Rock You.
Oh, yeah.
The bass part.
Mm-hmm. And in funk or reggae, I can really hear that bass.
Uh-huh.
So you feel the beat, right?
I mean, you say soundtrack.
No, the bass.
The bass. You don't mean West Side Story. You mean soundtrack to your life.
Right.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah. Right. You feeling this?
Do you, by the way, do you? Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I can feel that.
Do you know the lyrics to this?
No, it's in the street one day. Big disgrace. The place.
You know the chorus, the main chorus?
Rock you. We will rock you.
Yeah, I think we get it. Right, that's pretty good. It's better than Kimmel after he gets drunk.
Do you, Mav, at parties, when you're at a tried-out party or the spring fling, I assume you have coming up, something like that, do you dance?
You don't have to. If you can walk, you can dance. If you can talk, you can sing.
Really?
Well said.
Yeah. Right.
What's your retreat?
Third floor bathroom.
Oh, you got third floor. You're living in the house.
Yeah, I like to chill up there because a lot of people won't hoof it all the way up the stairs. So it's clean and private.
Uh-huh.
I like that.
And what are you doing up there, if you don't mind me asking? I mean, just sort of reflecting, or?
I go up there to take a duke.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
The
I didn't know if you were a little bummed out.
Houses, people treat them, and they're filthy. You know, same people, you know, same toilets are used over
right,
and over.
Right.
It's a clean one. Is can't put a price tag on it.
I know Maverick sometimes gets in a reflective mood about his impairment, and I just didn't know if he went up there to sort of collect his thoughts a little bit, you know.
Sometimes I get a little bummed out about my hearing.
Well, thank I think you. This is a good one to finish on. Yeah. Wildest dreams, Maverick.
I really have always fantasized about getting down with Ashley.
Which Ashley?
Oh, not the tried out one. Already been there. I will talk about that later because I have a bombshell.
Oh, really?
Well, you guys had a romantic entanglement at one point. You and Ashley, the tried out, right?
Put it this way. We were friends with benefits.
Oh, see. Now, actually, the tried-out's not the one who looks like Misha Barton.
No, the other athlete is shaved down below.
Right.
That's
okay.
The one you want. All that's right. Your wildest dream.
Matt?
Yeah.
Matt, you have a comment?
Yeah, I'm bummed out. You lost Rachel. I think you guys got rid of the wrong girl.
Yeah, she's going to be missed. Sorry.
You should have got rid of the one that does sports and not news.
Oh, that's no female. That's a hermaphrodite. I mean, that's a man. Sorry.
Christ, I'm gay.
Wow.
Listen, on behalf of everybody at the radio station, thanks for chiming in. And unfortunately, I just got a call from the assistant manager at the Target. There are a bunch of shopping carts out in the parking lot. Go clean them up, you bum.
Yeah. Go get your fucking shine box.
Job edition.
Matt, what do you do?
I'm actually a security analyst.
Ooh, security guard.
Yeah,
coming
off the graveyard shift.
Now, is that a fancy name for bag checker?
Yeah, I wish. No, I stare at computer monitors all night and look for hackers.
Mm. Oh, you're looking for hackers.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what company do you work for?
Surfing, work for a company called Pronet Solutions.
Does this company work with a bunch of companies, or do you just assign to one company?
They're like an IT outsource company, and for banks and credit unions, actually.
Yeah.
Do you wear the fake cop uniform?
The fake cop uniform? No, yeah. I leave that one at home when I go up your old lady.
All right. So, oh, wow. So you say that Dave should go and Rachel should stay.
Dave's the worst, man. He's so unbelievably annoying. I mean, in between the ass-kissing and the lame sports commentary, I mean, he tries to be so much like you. It'd be great if he could come up with his own personality.
Well, or just go ahead and be like me.
But listen, you know, this is taking me. This is taking me.
If you're
going
to do an Adam Carolla impersonation, you should at least do it right.
Well, listen, this has taken 10 years of my life to devote I've devoted myself to cultivating an Adam Carolla impression.
Good choice, Dave.
All right. But now, we didn't get rid of Rachel. Rachel is doing a movie.
Or a TV series,
as far as we know. But you think Rachel...
I'm bummed out, man. I thought she was just the highlight of the show.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, she brought out those things in you. I mean, you know, you've got, like, your own direction. You're going your way. And I think Rachel didn't really try to be like you. She kind of just brought out, you know, the feminine perspective and the... Mm-hmm. You know, the sexiness and stuff like that.
Are you related to her at all?
I think Dave's like the anti-sexiness. I would argue
that he exudes sexuality, and if you've ever been in the same room with him, you would feel it. It's palpable. It's hard to resist. All right, man.
To the shopping carts.
Thank you for your honesty.
Those things aren't going to clean themselves up.
Now go home and get your f***ing shine box.
I like it when the guy gets the wagon train of shopping carts going that is 60 carts long. I can barely navigate one cart down the frozen food section without sliding into the railing and catching on fire. I don't know how you push 70 of those things across the parking lot.
I did that for like 5 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I worked at a grocery store.
Is it a good gig?
Yeah, you know, it was simple.
I always run into this sort of shopping cart dilemma when I'm done with the cart, which is, where do I put it? I don't want to walk it all the way back to the hopper that's on the other side of the parking lot. On the other hand, I don't want to be one of these a-holes that just rolls it in behind someone else's SUV and have them back into it or have them have to move my cart. So I'm always looking for that space. It's not quite a space. It's not the home for the cart, but it'll do, and no one else is going to have to get out of their car to clean up my mess.
I just leave them anywhere I want. I figure I did it for 5 years. It's time for somebody else to do it.
It's interesting, everyone has that, like, waiters tip better because they understand. Mike over here leaves his shopping cart. Wow. Talk about dangerous. I can see why your wife is attracted to you.
Yeah.
By the way, let me know what I can do to bring out the best in you.
Thank you. You're doing a fantastic job, Dave. I was just telling the missus last night. Chad?
Hey, how you doing?
What's happening, Chad?
What's up? Hey, I think Gamacek's the man.
He is.
Oh.
If the show goes, if Damashek goes off the show, I'm leaving too, bud.
Please.
Yes.
I mean, oh. No, listen, Damashek, first off, sports guys normally aren't funny. You get your choice. You get your choice between funny and knowledge of sports. There's a lot of sports guys that think they're funny. But what you get, and if you turn on the evening news, you'll see it. Every sports guy, they're like weathermen. They think they're funny. They're not funny. If they actually were funny, they'd be doing comedy, which is what they would like to do. They just have to use sports to try to use it as a platform to get some of their comedy out. But they seem to crack themselves up more than they crack anybody else up.
That's why I don't even try to be funny.
Well, you should try a little.
I don't know. Then I embarrass myself based on your...
Dave knows sports and is funny.
Oh.
I would argue that there's not too many guys... except for Jay Johnstone, of course, who are as funny and know sports as well as Dave Damashek. I think he brings a lot to the table.
He brings, clean up the shopping carts, Lynch.
Dave brings a lot to the table. The only problem is the table is in another room, and we're off in this room having a meeting.
Speaking of tables, yes. I have to say something about my personal life.
Thank you,
life.
Chad.
Yes, very sweet, Chad. You're the tops. Listen, here's what a lot, this has gotten to be the greatest thing that I have going in my life is when I go home at night, my new wife, Miss Cindy, she's emerged as a great chef.
Mm-hmm.
She never made, listen, I dated her for 4 years, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
She never made me one meal, never attempted to cook anything. Mm-hmm. Then we get hitched. All of a sudden, she starts cooking. She feels like, well, I'm married now. I suppose I should put food on the table. And she's gone from simplistic, like, you know, making some pasta and stuff. Mm-hmm. Last night, she made ossobuco.
Wow. She
made, the night before that, she made grilled salmon with some asparagus on the side with couscous. I didn't marry
Hold
her.
Hold on. Couscous with ossobuco. Couscous and ossobuco.
It's delicious. And let me tell you.
Let me say this about ossobuco. Ossobuco is awesome. I don't know what percentage of Italian joints out here, because we only have, for some reason, Los Angeles only attracts the gay paisans. So you get your choice between watercress and pine nuts over some pasta with a goat cheese and an essence of whatever. Give me the goddamn sausage and peppers and the ossobuco. And the meatballs and the red sauce. You can't get it in Los Angeles. It drives me
insane. Oh, that's not so. I agree with you that that's delicious, right, but there are places you can hang
out. One out of every four Italian places you can find it. You go to your place on the corner, and it's all gayed up with the chicken and the pine nuts and all that crap.
This is a great conversation, considering that you have ownership in an Italian restaurant in L.A.
Yeah,
why don't you just order them? Make the meatballs and the sauce and the mozzarella.
The two favorite things I had on the menu, they pulled off, by the way.
Dude, I have to say, one thing that really bumped me out is when you get a slice of pizza and they don't give you a side of blue cheese.
You want to dip it into the ranch sauce.
You want to dip the crust in there. It drives me nuts.
Okay, sort of lay back and wait for the, the news. You know, it's coming up. No, I don't mean that in a bad way, Mav. I'm just saying, bro.
Don't get him bummed out, because if he starts hanging his head, he won't be able to look you in the eye and read your lips when you speak.
No, I mean, that's fine. It's just we're heading toward break, and, you know, Dave, you kind of stole his ossobuco thunder there a little bit. I felt
whatever,
like.
Bro.
Okay.
Well, all I'll say is this about it, to complete the story. It's a It wasn't part of the equation. I didn't sign on with her. I didn't get married to her because she's a great chef. But now she has added this to the equation, and it's fantastic. It's like Bronson Arroyo. The Cincinnati Reds just traded for Bronson Arroyo, the pitcher. Mm. He's a good pitcher. Yeah. They get him. Oh, we got a great pitcher.
He hit a home run.
Then he starts hitting home runs. Yes. Well, we didn't even expect this. It's the same thing.
Yes, and he took those stupid braids out of his hair. Jillian?
Yes.
What's up?
How are you?
What's happening?
I just wanted to say I really like Dave.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do.
Do you know what ossobuco is?
I wasn't really paying attention. It's like, isn't it beef stuff?
Maybe that's why she likes Dave. She sort of tunes out.
I was walking. I can't walk and listen at the same time. I'm kind of retarded like that. But
wow.
I wouldn't even modify that
with kind of. I'd say if you can't walk and listen, you are, in fact, retarded. I would also say there's many retarded people that can walk and listen just fine.
That frat guy can't walk and listen.
Wow. All right, Jillian, we need to take a break.
Thank you, Jillian.
It's like a shank of beef, and it's mixed with
with this delicious sauce.
Every time I go to an Italian joint, I always ask, do you have the ossobuco on there? Nah. No, we don't have it.
Come on by my place.
All right. I'll have
the missus whip it up for you.
I just may move in. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Christian, our resident young comedian, is on the phone. Yes, we're all fans. Christian?
Yep.
Go ahead.
I hate those bumper stickers that the school gives to the parents. My child got honor roll. My child got student of the month. They use them to raise the self-esteem of the kids who earned it, but in reality, they're just lowering the self-esteem of the kids who didn't.
Yeah.
My mom and I were on the freeway once, and I slightly glanced at one of these bumper stickers. And in the corner of my left eye, I just see my mom glaring at me. And I said, what's wrong? It's just I see those bumper stickers on the road all the time, and I want one. It's a bumper sticker, too much to ask. And I told her, Mom, you'd get the bumper sticker if the people who were giving them out weren't so picky.
Yeah, they have standards.
That's true. I wish I could make them for all the grades. My child got presidential. My child got honor.
Are we? He's going to come on the phone, right? We're not going to do his entire act, right? All right. Cool. Christian?
Yeah.
What's happening?
when you were talking to the other one, I actually answered. I didn't know. Oh, I thought I was on.
You thought you were talking to you. What's happening, Christian? Christian is 13. He's from Fresno. He's our stand-up comedian.
In training.
Jeff Ross has graduated from comedy school with
Mr.
flying
Miyagi.
Colors. Yes, Mr. Miyagi-berg. Jeff?
Yeah, baby.
Good to talk to you.
Oh, it's a real pleasure, let me tell you, pal.
Thanks for waking up.
I'm not even up. This is ridiculous.
I know, this will be one of those things, like, you know, you get that phone call in the middle of the night, and then you go back to bed, and then you wake up, and you think, I wonder if the phone rang last night. I think I dreamt the phone rang. You're going to dream that you did morning radio.
It's like more of a nightmare, man.
Sorry. Jeff is a comedian, and that's why he keeps late hours. What is your normal schedule, Jeff? What time do you normally go to bed?
I go to bed right after Sesame Street.
So about 5:30 in the morning.
About 5:45, I usually hit the hay.
5:45, and then you wake up when the street lights come on.
Yeah, you know, like basically when the milkman goes by or the meat workers go off to work for the day, that's about the time I go to sleep.
Is there anything better? I would argue, you know, I used to get into this with some girlfriends I've had in the past where I always work construction, and they always did nothing. So I would get up at 6 in the morning and head off to work, and they would argue. They would say, hey, could you keep it down? I can hear you brushing your teeth. I can hear you in the bathroom. And I would always first off, I would get rageful. I'd be like, you're sleeping, and I'm going off to work with 7,000 Mexicans in Simi Valley. Really? And I've got a green apple and a pack of raisins, a box of raisins for lunch, and I'll be drinking from the hose. You'll be rolling over about the time we're sitting down for our first break at 10:30 this morning. You should be happy that I woke you up so you could enjoy watching me leave this crappy apartment. You know what I mean? Because it is relative. You know what I mean? I mean, if you think about it, if the average man lived until 40... and you made it to 43, you'd be very happy. But now if you died 43, you're disappointed because the average guy's making it to 80. It's all relative. I like waking up in the morning and seeing people going off to work. It makes me nothing better than flopping back in the bed.
I'm not him.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Well, you have to realize I'm not going off for a hard job, though.
No, you do.
I sleep a few hours. I wake up at the crack of noon, go back to sleep. You know,
you're doing God's work, cultivating a young comedian.
Yeah.
By the way, Maverick is sort of hanging back. He's a little nervous to talk to you. He's a big fan of
this. Well, I'm a big fan of yours.
Well, thank you.
No, not you.
Oh.
you're talking about Jeff Ross, right?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hi, Maverick.
That's all right. You watch the roast or something? You like him doing the roast or the stand-up comedy?
Yeah, roast, comedy, all that stuff.
So all the guys at the Teak House over at SC are Jeff Ross fans?
Well, he came over one time and did a little show for us.
Oh, really?
How'd I do?
Dude, I think you killed.
You just see people smiling.
Yeah, you can feel when something's really funny. And this dude, a lot of people were cracking up.
The vibrations, right?
How funny does this feel, Maverick? Not that funny?
This is less funny than Christian. Oh, my gosh.
No, Dave is laughing.
Okay. Christian?
Yeah.
Sorry you thought Maverick was a big fan of yours.
Oh, it's okay.
I'm sure there's room.
Dave laughs at his own good ideas. You gotta watch out.
Someone's gotta.
It's understandable.
All right, Christian.
Yeah.
You've worked out a little original comedy for us.
And of course, May 10th at the Improv in L.A., Jeffrey Ross and his young prodigy are going to be performing.
Yes, he's taken him under his wing.
So he's working on his set.
Yeah.
What do you mean, Cousin Sal's gonna be there? You know, by the way, guys, I've been inundated with requests for free tickets, and everybody wants to come to this Fakakta show May 10th.
Well, great. We'll accommodate each and every one of them. And I'll be there as well, in spirit.
All right. You're not going to come and read off the teleprompter?
I'll be there. Just load up that prompter and I'll be there. All right, Christian, how about you do your very funny act for Jeff? Jeff, listen and critique, please.
Yes, sir.
I was daydreaming the other day, and I thought to myself, what was if Jesus was born in the present time? Because things are different now than they were then. Maybe back then it was believable, but nowadays we can rule out Virgin Mary. A little better, maybe it was on the pill, Mary. That might be a little better. And, you know, and Joseph, now this guy's wife had an affair with God. How would you feel? It's not, God's not someone you can take revenge on. Is he going to walk up to the pearly gates and start screaming, did you sleep with my wife? How can it work for him? No. And they were poor. Jesus was born in a stable. But we don't have stables. More than likely, maybe closest thing to a stable nowadays is probably a Motel 6. He's probably died for different reasons, too. You know, maybe when he was turning water to wine, he accidentally gave some to minors a little too much. You know? We don't crucify people anymore, though. Jesus, you know, he was probably injected, maybe, you know. And that would be the new sign, too. On every Bible, instead of a cross, you get a needle glimmering in gold with a halo on top. They sell T-shirts and tattoos and necklaces like that now. And, you know,
controversial. I like it, though.
And Christmas, you know, that's Jesus' holiday, and he has nothing to do with it. So to make kids remember it's his holiday from now on, instead of coal, if you're on the naughty list, your parents get an empty needle, and from there they can be creative.
Wow. Probably inject air into the bloodstream and die.
Yeah.
Is that, are you good? There's no good way to ask a comedian if he's finished.
Yeah, I'm finished.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like a prostitute talking to a John. Are we done? Are we good?
Sorry.
No, that's all right.
I need to learn that.
You know what? I realize we need one of those things, Christian. We need a button. You need to, when you're done, like when Dave is done with his sports.
Game over.
Game
that's
over.
My new one I'm trying out.
Yeah, you need something, because I always feel weird jumping in and going, is that about it with the comedy?
That's all right. I need to learn something.
Okay.
I'll find something.
Jeff, what do you say? How say you?
Well, first of all, there's nothing funnier than somebody named Christian doing Jesus jokes to me, personally. Because as a Jew, I can really relate.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, Christian,
yes.
You know, like, what would be good is if you gave them, like, your out cue. That way, on your last punchline, the band could kick in.
Yeah, so, yeah, next time we'll get that. We'll get your last joke, and we'll fire up the band.
Okay.
Or, you know what, you know what would be good for you at the improv? Maybe some pyro.
Mmm.
And your last joke is sort of like some fire burst out of the ground.
Biblical fire and brimstone. Yes.
Yeah, I like play up the whole Jesus Christian thing.
Huh?
Then you can introduce me as a Jew for Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Damn. So what do you think overall? You know, it had a reminiscent of a young Lenny Bruce talking about
Edgy material,
about Jesus, and if he died in a boating accident, we'd be wearing anchors or whatever it was.
I did feel like the material was much more ambitious than it has been in the past.
Yeah, I did too.
And the delivery was much better than it's ever been. So, very natural. I thought that was really a big improvement from last time.
Well, what should he work on this time around? What give him a couple of big beats to work on before we speak to him again.
I think we should do this about 8:30 from now on.
So that's number one. Don't do it at 6:30.
You're going to school way too early.
Drop out of school already. Enough's enough.
Yeah, really. Did anybody... Let's all figure this out. But, Jeff, I don't know where you stopped your education. Did you graduate from college?
I made it to the fourth grade.
You never graduated college?
Yeah, no, I did. I graduated.
Did you go to NYU?
Boston University.
What was your degree in?
I was a film major.
Mm-hmm. And you got your four, you got your bachelor's.
I squeaked something out. I'm not sure what it was.
And Dave, you got your...
Right, journalism.
Journalism. Brusca, did you graduate?
Yeah.
All right, and Mike?
Yes, I did.
All right, so everyone graduated. Maverick, you're about to graduate.
That's 5 of you. August if he graduated.
6 of you. All right, well, I don't want to be a pompous ass, but if we combined all your salaries, it wouldn't get to half my salary, and I never graduated. So, Christian, take a tip from a former horrible student. Don't worry about school.
All right.
Focus.
Don't sound like a pompous ass.
Focus on what you do best. Okay.
You know what a good thing would be to do, Christian, is to practice your material in homeroom for a couple of days each day before class starts.
Well, that is a good idea, yeah.
Because A, that's a really captive audience. B, they're going to be inclined to really like you and help you with your timing. So you kind of get off the rehearsed sort of delivery and get into more natural delivery.
I don't know, by the way, you know, when I was going to North Hollywood High 20 years ago, somehow comedy was not a viable option, was not a job for anybody. So when you would joke around, no one would say, hey, you ought to go do this for a living. They would say, hey, you should shut the F up, was basically the advice I got from teachers, friends, and family. Jeff, when you were...
Wait a second. Your friend, you mean to tell me the teacher wasn't amused by...
Me.
I'm sorry.
How dare you? And secondly... Well, I guess that was during school hours. All right, but anyway. The point is, Jeff, did you have encouragement growing up? Did people say, oh, this guy's funny. You ought to do stand-up for a living.
Never from adults, but my friends were always good laughs.
Oh, really? So, okay. That's good. Yeah, I had Ray and Chris going, shut up!
Yeah, well, no, I mean, you know, they're morons. You know, I came out of my house the other day. I saw Ray, like, walking by. It was really creepy.
Yeah, probably all up from all night. Was he wearing shoes?
Yeah, he was wearing those ridiculous flip-flops. Like, yes. I really need to see his toes.
Yeah, he does construction in those. It's great. All right, so Christian should do
Speaking
what?
Speaking of that, Jesus had better-looking toes than Ray.
What should Christian do? Give him two big things to work on before we talk to him next week.
I think the thing to think about for next week, and not necessarily for next week, but something to start thinking about is a little bit more of the performance. I think what Christian, for $25, you need to get over to one of these, you know, electronic stores and pick up a little mini tape recorder. You bring it to class, Christian, or you bring it to wherever you feel comfortable. The dinner table, the chess club, you know, the girls' locker room, wherever you're hanging out. And you loosen your collar and you round people up, showtime, and you break into your material. You start working on a more natural delivery. Because the material's really improving. But the delivery, that's the place I think has the most wiggle room to get better for the big show May 10th.
Okay.
You record it, and then you listen back. See where your high points and your low points, and where, you know, the sound of your own voice won't make you so nervous anymore.
And the worst thing, you wouldn't want his first time in front of people to be at the improv, right?
Absolutely. Great point. And you want to really be comfortable in front of live human beings as opposed to on the phone like you are now.
Okay.
I think that'll really help.
Okay.
See where there's a group, you know?
Yeah.
Are you any teams or anything like that?
Any what?
Any teams or groups at school?
Oh, yeah, there's a couple, yeah.
Are you in any?
Yeah.
All right. Well, do some of your stuff for Maverick, yes? You have something?
In school, if I have to give a big speech or something, I'll drink 4 or 5 brews before, and it really helped to relax me.
I don't think that's a problem.
Well, yeah, I don't. He's 13. Maybe just one brew.
You know, it might help, Christian, something you don't necessarily do, like a cup of coffee before you go out.
Yeah.
The brain working overtime.
That's right.
15-year-old brain.
That's right. Maybe a little reefer, right, Ross?
If you smoke a little reefer, that wouldn't be the worst thing ever.
All right, Jeff, thank you for the sagely advice, if that's such a word.
It's comedy, man.
No.
This isn't chemistry, all right?
Miyagi says to Danielson, wax on, wax off. Ross says, smoke some weed.
Carbon. Carbon.
Wax off.
Yeah. I'm trying to think now. I'm sorry. Somewhere halfway into the conversation, I drifted back into my days and having people just go, shut up, or what are you talking about? And I realized I probably wasn't encouraged much comedically because I hung around with dopes, number one, adults saying, people my own age. But the other thing is the type of comedy that you do. You have to think about that. If you do voices, I imagine a young Fred Travellina was the most popular guy in his junior high because he was doing impersonations, Rich Little, whoever it is. He was doing impersonations of the principal. And people would do that. Do Mr. O'Malley. Do the science teacher who's gay. Do the lesbian history teacher, you know, and he would do it and it would delight his classmates. But if you're a young Jerry Seinfeld, you're screwed. And I think my observational stuff didn't go over so well with 14 and 15-year-old idiots from North Hollywood. So I would be sitting there in the 10th grade going, why do they call it nutrition? Why do they call that break between the time class starts at 8 a.m. and noon when we eat lunch nutrition? I've had 3 cinnamon rolls and a chocolate milk. Surely this isn't nutritious. And people would be like, shut up and eat. I used to get a lot of, I don't know why they call it nutrition, you retard, just eat. It was great. That's all right. It didn't deter me. Look at me. King of the world. What was that combined income thing we worked on? That's great.
You're the richest.
That's right. All right, Mav, how are you doing?
Pretty good. I was just thinking it would be really cool to be a top pilot.
Oh, okay, yeah. You're looking back on your life, too. All right, we need to take a break. Jeff?
Yeah?
You say Dave is way too liberal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, saying he's a little bit liberal is kind of like saying Liberace is a little bit gay.
Wow.
What does this world come to if I'm a wild, wild liberal?
Usually the Jews are right-wing extremists. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Ozzy. Got a review of the miniseries 10 Commandments after this.
I say Adam, and he says
Adam.
I say Hoffman, and he says
Hoffman.
Adam,
Adam.
Hoffman,
Hoffman.
That's just how Oswaldo talks. I say racist, and he says
racist.
I say confusion, and he says
confusion.
Racist,
racist.
Confusion,
confusion.
That's just how Oswaldo talks.
Hmm. Adam, doesn't bother you to hear my name pronounced?
Adam.
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 Jew.
Yes? What's she calling me?
Jew.
Jew. I think you may have said you.
Jew.
Yeah. Is your brother okay?
Yeah. It's go today to Costa Rica and tomorrow take the surgery, the operation.
I don't want to make light of a serious situation, but when the phone rings and Ozzy's on the other end, first it's cha-ching. I pick up the phone. I'm? Uh-oh. Worth $500. Then I hear my brother. Now we're at $1,000. Now I hear Nicaragua. Actually, I don't hear Nicaragua. I hear Nicaragua. Boom. We're at $1,500. Then I hear fell out of a tree. Surgery. Bad doctors. What are you supposed to do? My wife always says, well, stop giving money to everybody all the time. And I go, well, what's the option? I mean, I'm not trying to sound like a saint, but what's the option? Ah, your brother's femur will heal itself. It'll be fine. What do you mean? They have some of the greatest orthopedic surgeons in the world reside in Nicaragua, and they all work pro bono. Please. It'll be fine. Well, you shouldn't have been climbing the tree. I'm not, you know, that's what I always yell at her, and she's always dumbfounded at that point. Whenever somebody needs a couple of bucks here or there, I always give it to them, and then she's like, why are you giving money to, and then I always say, well, what do you want me to do? What's the option? No, sorry, no. And she always goes, well, no, you can't do that. And that's where we're at. Where we're at.
So, in other words, I could hit you up for money at some point, and you'd have no choice but to...
I decide, A, who's worthy of it, and then, B, what are their options. Ozzy can't go borrow money from the bank, right, Ozzy?
Yep.
And his brother is in dire straits over there in Nicaragua, right?
Yeah.
All right, is he okay?
Yeah, it's almost okay after the operation.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever, you know, thank you so much.
Okay, buddy. And what happens, by the way, after the operation? I mean, your brother doesn't have health insurance, right?
No, it's not exist in Nicaragua.
Doesn't exist. Well, you can't judge.
A lot of companies, you know, they make, you know, the the deal, you know, to these people,
mm-hmm.
and left, you know, to other countries, Guatemala or Honduras, you know.
Well, it's not the people.
It's still the money.
Yeah. I would like to get a calendar and walk around this great world of ours and point at the date. I'd like to go to the Middle East. Hey, wait, everyone, 2006, y'all. We got some stuff over here. We're going to let you guys in on stuff. Boy, we got health coverage. We have the wheel. We have fire. We have a space program. Yeah, come on by. As a matter of fact, our whole country should really just be treated like one of those expos, that they, those futuristic expos that they have every once in a while. Hey, you know, once every 5 years, they could put a bunch of tents up around the St. Louis Arch, and we can see what the future is going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, in the future, this is how we're going to travel. We just invite other countries over to take a look. Yeah, what it is. Look, we got health care over here. We got a government that's not corrupt. It's fantastic. It's going to be great in a few hundred years.
We don't start them out with TiVo.
No. I don't want to give them TiVo
first
yet.
First, we show them, like, lighters. You know, like...
yes.
You know.
Well, we get their attention with the lighters. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to give them TiVo. They'll get fat, soft, and complacent. I want them to get hungry. Plus, they'll end up worshiping that TiVo character with the antennas. And that'll become their new god, and it'll be bizarre. We'll travel over there. They'll be wearing the TiVo necklaces. I'll be worshiping the TiVo god. Oh, there's the story. Write that down.
You know, my country is one in the war, you know.
They won the war?
One in the war, you know. The ten government guy,
mm-hmm.
11 is still, you know, to the people.
Right.
Corrupt.
All right, everyone's corrupt. And that's why there's no health insurance. All right, so how much did the operation cost for your brother, by the way? He fell out of a tree.
$23,700.
Was he working or did he just wake up and fall out of the tree?
No, it's
I don't know how you guys sleep.
Take it down.
He fell down. Yeah. He was working on the tree. All right.
$23,000. $23,700. Wow. The hospital, everything, you know.
Wow.
The surgery and everything.
Wow.
First he making in Costa Rica.
Mm. And I bet that same operation, if you paid cash for it here, would be $50,000 at least,
almost,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, imagine how much it would cost me if I fell out of the tree. I guess I should be thankful. Ozzy, you're gonna do a review. I know we have to take a break, but you're gonna do the Ten Commandments for us.
Yep.
You saw the mini series.
Yep.
I think it aired.
I see the two series.
Monday and Tuesday night. All right. Good. You're Christian, right?
No, I'm Catholic for tradition.
You're what, huh?
Catholic for tradition. I know.
Catholic for
fanatic.
Tradition.
You're not a fanatic.
Yep.
You've seen enough to know maybe the big man doesn't exist. You've seen enough pain, enough suffering at the hands of the Sandinistas, enough loved ones fall out of trees to realize maybe there's no God.
I keep it myself, you know, in the good way.
Right, but every once in a while, an angel of mercy like myself comes down.
I was going to say.
Write you a check for $5,000.
God Almighty should be Corolla.
Thank you.
With the money.
All right, we'll take a break. The great Oswaldo will be back with a movie review. I should say Ten Commandments review after this.
Rancho Cucamonga.
Oh, Oswaldo. You review a movie. What a thrill. Can you cook the flapsteak? We can't understand the words you say, but we love you, Oswaldo. Oswaldo.
Left this reviewer call.
Yeah, that is the great Oswaldo, dear old friend. Met Oswaldo building a gymnasium in Pasadena 16 years ago. We've been thick as thieves ever since. He's really like my Nicaraguan nanny. Comes over when it's raining, wants to know how it's going. Brings presents all the time. Ozzy shows up with baskets and posters and stuff. I've never admitted this to Oswaldo, but he once got me a big framed poster of Marilyn Monroe that said, "Beauty is power."
Why'd you give that to Adam? What made you think that would be for him?
I remember I didn't like it.
Oh.
That's right.
You're into Marilyn Monroe. I thought just last week you said you're not into her.
I don't know. I think it's one of those things, like, if I was in Nicaragua, and I was driving to Ozzy's house, and I saw a plaster Paris E.T. with a Prussian helmet on, I'd say, oh, I bet he'd like this. you know what I'm saying? It's that kind of thing. I bet he sees Marilyn Monroe, sees the beauty, his power, and says, looking very 80s, by the way, looking very car wash, very 80s car washy, beauty is power, a little nageled out, you know, and says, I bet this would be right up this American's alley. I lent Ozzy some money.
Consider it.
I got to tell you, I don't want to keep harping on it, but it is one of those things where I've done this many times in my life. You lend someone money, and then they work it off. I had a roommate that owed me like $1,800-$1,900, so he came over and helped me paint my house. He works 5 hours one Saturday, he works 4 hours the following Saturday, and now we're square because he gets $480 an hour when he's painting. You know what I mean? This is the problem with having people work stuff off. You can do so. You can give someone $10,000 and say, "Well, give me $100 a month." And we'll work it off. And in 3 months, they'd be like, "Yeah, we're square." And you'd be like, "Wow, we're square already?"
Well, worked it off. As we were talking about earlier, wives who cook and such, you know, it's a way of earning their keep if you're paying for the house and everything. Mm-hmm. Maybe the Lynette, though, your wife, does not work off.
So you come over and cook that flap steak every night for the next year, and we're square with the $5,000.
No problem. I make a chimichurri too.
Tell you, Ozzy, we've talked about before, but his diabolical ploy is he always has a second beer on him. And whenever I come down and want to know why he's drinking beer at 8:45 in the morning, on my dime, he cracks another one and goes, "Here's a cold one, boss." And I go, "Thank you." Now, what were we talking about? I think it's a great idea. Just always have a nice second beer. Just have one chambered. Have one on deck, and somebody pulls you over. Somebody starts yelling at, "What the hell are you drinking? It's 8:10 in the morning." "Here you go, boss." "Thank you."
Breakfast of champions.
Def Frat guy's going to do the news for us. This should be interesting. But first, it's time for Ozzy and his review of the Ten Commandments. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, no. We have a regular
Oswaldo,
one.
Tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo, tell us.
Today, I am reviewing the Ten Commandments.
Ten what?
Commandments.
Condiments?
Commandments.
You mean like relish? No. Ketchup, stuff like that? Or condominiums? You mean like what Dave lives in?
You say condiment? No.
Ten?
Commandement.
Ten what?
Commanding.
All right. We know what you're talking about. The tablets, the biblical tablets.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which was an ABC yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Finnish series.
Mm-hmm.
Dougray Scott S. Moses.
As Moses. Is his name Dougray? Dougray?
Dougray Scott.
Dougray. Dougray. What kind of Scott, name is that for a white guy? S. Scott or just Scott?
Scott.
Mm-hmm. And what do you call escargot? Scargot?
Scargot.
But I'm saying, his name is Dougray Scott.
Scott.
No, just Scott.
Scott.
No, not S. Scott. Scott.
Cut.
There you go.
Mi maestro es Sephora.
Sephora, right?
Linus Roche is Haron.
Jesus Christ, look at this, these names.
Omar Sharif is Jethro.
Oh.
And Navin Andrews is Merenit.
Mm-hmm.
The movie is Bible argument based on the exodus of the Jewish people from Egypt.
The Jews.
Yeah.
Stinking Jews.
Jews.
Ah. Ever go try to buy a car and have the guy try to U you down?
Ozzy, you have no problem with the Jews, though, right?
No.
They're proud people.
I don't have a problem to nobody, man.
No.
I like
that. I am very nice guy.
Okay.
I agree.
So, read that sentence one more time. The movie is a...
The movie is Bible argument based in the exodus of the Jewish people.
Based on the exodus of the Jewish people.
From Egypt to the new hope land.
So the Jews are going to go from Egypt to the new hope land.
Yep.
Okay.
God promises to Israel people.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Moses is one biblical figure
mm-hmm.
who is a Jew every slave.
He's what kind of slave?
Jews every slave.
Hebrew slave?
Hebrew slave, yeah.
Okay.
My favorite part is when the people are punishing with the 10 plagues.
Plagues?
Plague, yeah. To, mm-hmm. to the fire, to the sky.
Mm-hmm.
The sick in the body, you know.
What in the body?
Sick, you know.
Take cigarette?
A lot of cut and stain, you know, in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And the skin.
The lesions. Oh, yeah. The skin's like break down like herpes.
Yep.
Can you say herpes?
Herpes.
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 All right. That'd be my and biblical the, name.
The grandiose part, you know, is when he cut.
Herpamesis. Yes. Yes.
He cut, you know, the Red Sea.
Mm-hmm. Part of the Red
For
Sea.
For the people passed, you know, after this, he closed the water and all Egypt people died.
Yeah. Screw those Egyptians.
Yeah. The version is more cruel and gory to the version of the Passion from Mel Gibson.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That they say the Ten Commandments let the reviewer call.
Wow, even the biblical stories believe Ozzy called.
Do you believe that kind of stuff? Do you believe that God parted the Red Sea, Ozzy, and you know, closed it in on the Egyptians to save the Jews?
You know, something you think and believe or not believe, you know.
Mm. Well, that clears that up.
The tradition, you know, the religion say this argument and believe, man.
You do.
And believe in something.
All right, all right. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, you.
Now, is it just me or is this Waldo's pronunciation getting worse as the years wear on? That was the best, Ozzy. All right, hang tight there, brother. We have Christopher Anderson. He's the author of The Way She Is, the Barbara Streisand book. Christopher?
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
I've seen you making the rounds on all the news programs.
That's me.
I'm assuming the book is doing well.
It's on the New York Times bestseller list based on 4 days' sales, so that's always a good sign.
So it 4 days sales, it comes out on a Sunday, a Saturday? Is that how it works?
Well, you get mine.
Or you get Friday and then you...
Well, the book came out, my book happened to have come out on a Wednesday, and they only count between up till Saturday.
Ah.
You say.
I see.
If I'd come out the previous Sunday, I would have gotten the whole week's work.
Right. Well, that's nice. Nice job. Yeah. And you have formerly written books on Princess Diana.
Mm-hmm.
And John, I'm guessing John Kennedy Jr.
We're both number one. Uh-huh.
And that was, and you also have a lot of inside skinny on the president, his boozing problem. And
that's right.
How do you get an inside line to this kind of information?
You just dig, really. I mean, you call up, first of all, you read everything that's ever been written about these people, and then you call up. You start, it can take up to a year to get, you know, one person to talk sometimes. So, in the case of George Bush, for example, I was the first, about George and Laura, I wrote a book about them, and called George and Laura, and a couple of years ago, and I was like, went really into that story behind Laura's real tragic early accident, you know, where she killed a friend from high school in an auto accident. But I was the first person really to dig into that, for example. So you just become a kind of a detective, really.
How extensive was Bush's boozing? I know we're getting off topic
here.
We
sure are. We'll get back to Barbara. Yeah, Bush's boozing was extensive, but he stopped. You know, he just cold turkey. His wife gave him an ultimatum, really.
Yeah, Maverick calls them quitters. He doesn't like that.
If you're not waiting, the day ends.
Thank you, Mav. Hey, so Christopher, so here's, I guess, my question about this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
One is, do you feel like there's, does your conscience ever get the best of you? Do you ever think, well, I'm just sort of making money off the pain of others, possibly?
Well, in the case of Barbara Streisand, absolutely not. I mean, you know, I do make it pretty clear in this book that, you know, she's a, yes, she's a diva, she's got the tantrums and everything, but she's this great artist. And one of her friends said, you know, Picasso was a bastard, who cares? Mm-hmm. The talent will out, ultimately, I think. And it's, I think it's a very balanced, I try to provide a, you know, the reasons people do things. And in Streisand's case, it's because, you know, as a child, she was just emotionally so abused by her stepfather and her mother that we got what we got in Streisand, this drive to become something spectacular.
And as a result, she turned into a filthy, filthy woman who bedded down with everyone she could get her hands on.
Well, now, you know, it's interesting. Here's a woman, and I think it's a long list, and, and some of it was very public and well-known. I just found other people as well, but to rattle them off would you know, I mean...
Well, Elliot Gould and Omar Sharif, who was just in the miniseries.
I noticed that, yes. He's not aging well.
Ryan O'Neill, Warren Beatty...
Steve McQueen, Peter Weller, Chris Christopherson, Richard Gere, Andre
Peter Weller, I didn't
even have... RoboCop, yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's... Okay, there's a couple of interesting things. One is, forget about Babs, the real victim is James Brolin. I mean, that ultimately, these are the people that, you know, when they say when there's a divorce, it's the kids who really suffer. When a tell-all book comes out, it's the husband
Jimmy
that really...
Brolin he's really mad at Christopher.
Well, maybe.
And imagine this guy down at the firing range the weekend after the book comes off and the grilling he must get from all his buddies. I don't know what he does on the weekend. I can tell you that if a book about my wife and all her partners came out, especially, you know, Dodi Fayed, and all these names came in. Shooting hoops with the boys on the weekend would be a very rough outing. I'd probably sit out a few months.
But then again, he's the one who ended up with her, so maybe he thinks he's the winner in the sweepstakes.
And how can I ask you this in terms of liability? I'm guessing that Babs is not excited that you wrote this book.
Well, actually, she's been attacking me on her website, but that's okay because I think she hasn't really calmed down and sat down and read it because I think she'll find a lot of people in there speak very highly of her. Obviously, the fans love the book because she is depicted as this exciting woman. I mean, you see this kind of exhilarating rise.
Right, but that doesn't make the headlines. What makes the headlines are the affairs she had, and that's what you hear on the news, and a lot of folks who may not read the book just gather that much from the book, and that's probably what she's upset about.
Right.
But let me ask you, in terms of liability, is there a liability? What if she didn't sleep with one of these people and somehow can prove it? Are you in trouble?
I'm very specific about when they were together, when you know what they were doing, and I let you know people judge for themselves whether or not they were intimate or not. But we have, you know, the lawyers, my publishers go over this with a fine-tooth comb. They vet it, as they say. So, no, I'm totally confident. And the only thing that she has objected to, and this is funny, in this book with thousands of stories in it, is the fact that I say that she didn't attend her sister's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And she is on her website saying, you know, and she has the sister's ex-husband, the groom in that case, saying, no, Barbara was in London, so she couldn't come. But, yeah, I mean, so she was in London, so what? I mean, my feeling is that obviously she could have afforded a plane ticket to go to her only, you know, sister's wedding.
Well, so in a way, you're not a fan. I mean...
Well, I you know what, I am a huge fan of her talent, and I think she's an icon and a great character, and as far as somebody to write about, she's just wonderful, you know, right up there with Diana and the first, you know, couples, and the Kennedys. I've written a number of books about Jackie and Jack and so on, but she's just a one of a kind, you know.
I gotta be honest, when I hear about a guy who writes a Barbara Streisand book, I think gay and gayer. But then I see on the news and I say, could be straight, but then I hear the Princess Di book and I'm back to gay again. I'm all over the road sexually with you. Where do you come down on yourself sexually?
Where do I come down?
On your belly? Yes.
You want to rephrase that, please? Yeah.
What is your sexual proclivity, if you don't mind me asking? Because I got to tell you, I do almost everything based on stereotypes,
right.
And I'm almost never wrong, but I can't figure you out.
It's
you're an enigma.
The only way to go. Stereotypes are the
Thank
only way
Thank you.
To go. That's how I live my life as well. I've been married for 35 years, so, you know.
Wow.
Right.
I know.
In a loveless relationship.
He has to be straight because Babs is a gay icon. She's the queen of the queens.
And he could never attack his queen.
Let me
tell you one thing. She's, you know, the funny thing about Barbara is that when her son told her he was gay, she didn't know anything about the gay lifestyle. He had to go to the library and get her books on it. So, and he says she, you know, he grew up in a very heterosexual household.
Hmm.
And so that's kind of an interesting way to look at it. I mean,
who the hell has to go to the library and get books on being gay? And by the way, how do they label that section?
Well, plus she's been in show business her whole life. How does she? She's never met a gay person in show business.
Surrounded by gays her whole adult
life. Let me ask you this, though, Christopher. You know what's remarkable about Babs is that unlike, you know, they're always the guys, the powerful guys, who bed women that are out of their league, Babs is unique in that she bedded down with the, you know, Don Johnsons and McQueens and Richard Gears and Beatty's and Bobby Redfords and stuff. Right. How did she land all these fellas?
Power. You know, Cinder said power is the ultimate aphrodisiac, you know. And I think it works in Hollywood, too. I mean, she's very powerful, she's this icon, and it was sort of a notch in some of their belts as well.
Well, it is a great example. It's one of the only examples where it's been flip-flopped.
Right.
Everyone knows you can be Henry Kissinger and still get laid because even though you're a troll with a crazy accent worse than Oswaldo's, you're so powerful that it's an aphrodisiac. But normally that doesn't cross gender boundaries.
Onassis had any woman he wanted, right?
Right. But Jackie was hot. But yes, you know what we're saying?
Sure.
Babs has been the one, I would argue, that she always had a nice rack on her and a fairly hot body, was enough.
That too, but I mean, I talked to, Buck Henry, who wrote a couple of her movies, and she did a nude scene in The Owl and the Pussycat back in the 60s, and she decided not to run with it, but he said she looked spectacular.
You know?
She was in great shape, and she always has, right now she's overweight, and she has to lose like 20 pounds to go on tour in November.
Sure.
But very conscious of her body, and Dustin Hoffman, meet the Fockers, he'd go on the set every day and say, your breasts look marvelous today, and she liked that.
Yeah, she did, you know, it's really weird because she essentially had a big schnoz, but beside that, and it's like, I guess it's like a giant turd on the roof of a sports car or something. Maybe it's like a dinosaur took a dump on your Ferrari, but it somehow throws the whole thing off. All the symmetry is thrown off on her, because if you really break her down part for part, her eyes are nice, nothing wrong with her hair, nice legs, nice ass.
She's again, rough in the puss, though, but I mean, it's amazing that she didn't sleep her way to the top. Once she was on the top, then she started banging away out of pleasure.
Exactly, because she married Elliot Gould. And by the way, I write about her very first really serious guy she was going to marry turned out to be gay. A guy named Barry Denon.
Shocker.
He was the guy who really made her what she was. I mean, he'd invented Barbara Streisand, in a sense. You know, her look, her sound, the whole nine yards. She didn't even want to be a singer, you know. He kind of forced her to go and start singing in nightclubs.
Yeah, for me, my wife is the opposite. I insist on singing, and she tries to stop me. The exact opposite. I want to sing Vehicle and...
one of my favorites.
Oh, really? Little Lions of March. Yeah, and Hell is for Children by Pat Benatar. I insist on singing that. Christopher Anderson is on the phone. I just want to reset for those who just tuned in. He is the author of Barbara, The Way She Is. We have, doing the news, by the way, filling in today, Christopher, we have a deaf frat guy. He's a fraternity brother from USC.
Uh-huh.
He's a teak, and he has a passage from the book I believe he'd like to read on the air for us.
Okay.
Page 199. Still coping with stage fright, hysterical fans have surged on to the stage and tried to drag Barbara off during the Madison Square Garden concert for Bella Abdul just weeks before. Barbara now sought to relieve the tension in other ways. She began smoking pot on stage. She produced a cigarette case, pulled out a fake joint, and passed it to a member of the audience. Quote, then I started lighting live joints, passing them around to the band, you know, she later recalled. It was great. It relieved all of my tensions. And I ended up with the greatest supply of grass ever.
Abs into the weed.
Blowing reefer on stage, says Christopher Anderson.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's funny nobody seems to remember that.
So you should say something about her having a butter face. Everything's hot but her face.
All right, man. Just stick to the pages of the book.
Butter. No. Well, you know, the nose thing is important because she came so close so many times to getting a nose job. You know, and she asked everybody for like the first decade of her career, and but of course it would have changed the voice.
Do you believe, Christopher? That I have this theory when you hear about these folks, you know, whether it's Madonna, the list is as long as my arm about the celebrities, especially the females who weren't treated well in the early part of their life, or suffered some tragedy, the loss of a parent, abuse, physical or sexual, that a lot of people say in spite of that, they overcame that and became these huge celebrities. I say that's a motivating factor.
Even Streisand said, she said it was precisely because her mother didn't believe in her, did not believe in her, that she had to become something. Mm-hmm. And she's, boy, the prime example. And when she was a kid, her stepfather always called her ugly. This guy named Louis Kind.
Is he alive?
No, he died. He died a few years ago, but he was around for a long time.
Did she ever pay him back by not paying him back? You know what I mean? Did he still live in the crappy little Brooklyn apartment she grew up in, and she never spread her wealth to him? Did she abuse him?
No, she didn't. And that's her credit. But the fact is that she never really, I mean, he divorced her mother after she was, grown and out. And at one time he came to see her in Funny Girl, and she waited for him backstage, and he never came backstage.
But
she wanted a connection with this guy. It never happened.
That's what I'm going to, I have kids coming in a few months. I have twins coming.
Wow.
And I don't ever want to get burned, I don't want to be like one of those dads in the NBA whose son goes on and signs a $50 million contract. And you neglected the kid and abandoned him when he was five. You don't get to cash in. I'm going to size up my kid's talent very early and decide whether I stay or whether I go. And if I understand that this kid's got some ability either in the sports world or he has some artistic ability, I'm hanging out until he's 15 or 16.
What's that long?
Yeah.
Good.
Well, I'm old-fashioned.
They could be a late bloomer, so I would say 16.
Hey, Christopher, what are the odds? Barbara is clearly, based on what you've written here, she is the Wilt Chamberlain of broads.
And that's what I can't figure out how people missed this.
Filthy woman.
Oh, she's been around, and these are only the famous ones.
So what are the odds? Are the odds then that if she was with roughly 15,000 men and he was with 20,000 women, isn't it likely, since they both live in L.A., that they were together?
Mathematically, yeah.
Chamberlain and Babs together.
And Chamberlain?
Yes. Yeah.
I'd say that they were.
In circles. It could happen, I suppose.
Well, I know we passed.
Yeah, Agassi, she had, there's a jock.
We pass judgment. Yeah, they're the same athlete, Agassi and Chamberlain. We pass judgment, but, as she moves into the twilight of her career and then her life, she must look back fondly on this stuff. Yeah, you were with Warren Beatty and Omar Sharif. It's kind of nice.
I'll tell you right now, I think she's doing handstands or whatever she can do, because this is really portrays this woman who's going to be 64. It reminds people that she really was this, exciting person, and still is in some regards. She's coming up for a big payday in November. She's likely to get $150 million for this next concert tour.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Smoking whore.
Yeah, I bet she's strapped for cash.
Well, yeah, well, hardly. But what she wants is all this. She wants to start building up sort of a war chest for Hillary Clinton.
And she's going to fund her campaign. Interesting. Meanwhile, Brolin is in the garage sucking off the exhaust pipe of the Humvee right now, looking for something merciful. All right, Christopher, we got to take a break. Come by and see us in the studio next time you're in town.
Absolutely. I'd love to.
Christopher Anderson, the author of The Way She Is, the Barbara Streisand book. Yes, Maverick, did you have one last thing?
Is Christopher still on the line?
No, we put him on hold.
I wanted to know if Streisand banged Clinton.
Oh, that's interesting.
Interesting.
Interesting. Wait, see there. Christopher.
Yeah.
Are you there? Was Barbara ever with Bill?
Well, you got to read the book. You make up your mind, but read the facts that are in there.
They spent a lot of time together.
Yeah,
Christopher
says yes. Unclear of whether she was with a Moose or Poochie or any of the guys from the house.
Well, I was just wondering, because Mike F., his thing is curved like Bill Clinton.
Mike F.'s one of the guys over at the Teak House?
Yeah, they call him Lefty.
Oh, yeah, he's got what they call Peyronie's disease. It pulls to one side. Okay. How do you know that, by the way, Maverick? I mean, you've seen him erect? Or?
Dude, you cannot help look in the shower. It's so dramatic. The curvature is so dramatic.
Dramatic. I like that.
Curvature.
All right. Well, maybe you guys, and I like the big stall shower over at the... I thought those houses just had separate bathrooms. I didn't know they had the stall showers there for everybody.
Stuff happens.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe just leave it at that. We'll take a break. We'll be back with news from Def Rat Guy after this.
Show. Call Adam Carolla now, 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. 866-901-ADAM. We have Maverick. You know him as Jason and the deaf frat guy.
What's up, bro?
Other handle. He's a fifth-year senior over at SC, over at the Teak House. What's your major?
Communications major.
The hell was that?
It was I Feel the Need for Speed.
Oh, is that what that was?
Gun.
Oh, nice.
Communications major.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, so you're going to do the news for us today.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well, you got to represent the Teak House now, right?
In the house.
All right. Well, now it's time for Maverick, a.k.a. Deaf Frat Guy, with the news. Yeah.
Sure as I think
Zacharias Massaui?
Yeah, his death penalty trial will hear the first public playing of the cockpit voice recorder of United Airlines Flight 93,
mm-hmm.
the hijacked plane on September 11th,
mm-hmm.
that missed its target thanks to a passenger uprising.
Why do we need further evidence to convict Massaui?
Yes, they are going to scroll a list of everybody who died on 9/11, not only on Flight 93, not only on the other flights, but in the towers on the ground. And I would imagine people that just had heart attacks on that date in other parts of the country are going to be scrolled so that the people can see. We can't do the goddamn math
Haven't
on this guy.
Haven't we already bought into the idea that this guy is guilty and is, you know, listen, I'm not for the death penalty, but I'll make an exception, you know?
Yeah, I know. No,
he's
they do.
Bound for the chair this anyway.
Let me explain how the courts work, though. The courts are sort of geared toward retarded people. You know, you don't take a kid and say to him, what's 28 times 3 minus 5? You go, if Johnny took a school bus and the school bus was 28 miles from his house, they have to do it. They can't just say 3,300 people died. They have to actually show you 3,300 names. This is how we do it.
It just seems unnecessary and ghoulish almost. Rudy Giuliani had to testify about the horror of 9/11 to try and convict this guy who's already admitted that he was a part of it and would have done more and everything. And in the meantime, OJ driving down the freeway with the wig and the money and with the gun pointed at the back of his chum's head. Inadmissible.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
I will say this about Massaui, and sorry for jumping all over your news, Maverick, but he basically came out about 2 weeks ago and cooked his own goose. He may have gotten away with not getting the death penalty, and then he just got up there and said, you know, I was planning on doing another plane and flying it into the White House. I'm glad it happened. And he really just screwed himself in the eyes of the jurors. I don't know why we have to go through this charade. He's already done with. And he said other things as well, other inflammatory things that I would argue angered the jury even more than saying he wanted to fly a fifth plane into the White House. We happen to have tape of that. Let's hear that.
I was going to use a rock scaling harness, climb the face of Mount Jefferson.
That is outrageous.
Richard Reed and I wanted to use a drill to bore a hole in the Vietnam Wall. Then use it as a glory hole.
Okay.
I plan to go to the National Zoo in Washington, D.C. and rape the pandas. And then kill a bald eagle and use its feathers to tickle a prostitute.
They say, as if the Americans and the jury weren't upset enough, weren't outraged enough by what this guy had attempted to do.
This seems more damning than Giuliani on the stand, all this stuff.
I know, that's right. What I'm saying. He just did more damage by opening his own mouth. There can't be more.
I was going to kidnap Senator John McCain, lock him in a bamboo cage and shout, diddy mao, until he cried and peed himself.
Former resident of Hanoi Hilton.
I was going to illegally download copies of the new Neil Diamond album.
Oh, that's it. Wow.
Well, still a crime.
Missouri and Williams at the Grand Ole Opry.
Oh, could you imagine the busloads of elderly tourists forced to watch that? Thank God we caught up to this guy when we did.
Monster.
Well, that couldn't be.
I was planning to kidnap the elephants from the Ringling Brothers Circus, make them have sex into buckets, and then pour the buckets into Old Faithful, and then wait.
Oh, that's just filthy.
Yeah. One thing you can say about him is he was definitely ambitious.
Mm-hmm. Clever with
making elephants have sex into buckets. I don't know if you guys have ever tried that. It is a full day.
He's a clever guy, but he's using his powers for evil.
Yeah. Too bad we couldn't get this guy designing video games or something creative. Mm. All right, I'm sorry, Maverick. I'm sorry we jumped in on your news.
It's all good, bro.
Sorry, continue.
Liberty Bell.
No.
I was going to dig up the remains of Paul Revere and his horse and reenact famous scenes from the movie Hot to Trot.
Oh.
What can I say? I love the Bobcat Goldthwait.
All right.
I was going to run up the steps of the Philadelphia courthouse like in your Rocky movie, but break wind with every step.
Okay, Nana. Heard enough. I'm sorry. Sorry, Maverick.
Mocking Sly Stallone.
Yeah.
Bastard.
Where's his theme, by the way? I miss Maverick's Danger Zone theme. There we go. Again, sounds as good as it did in 1987.
Did you hear about Britney Spears and Kevin Federline? Their 7 months old baby fell out of his high chair and fractured his head.
Yeah. I would argue that it's the problem with the chair. Anything with the word high in front of it for toddlers is not a good idea. High horse, high chair, high sofa, high crib. Put it on the ground where it's nice and safe. That way you fall, you don't crack your head.
Yeah, but considering they're worth about, or she, I should say, is worth about $200 million, they couldn't get a state-of-the-art high chair?
I'm just saying, instead of people working on high chairs, how about you work on low tables? The more you know. The more you know.
The cops...
Hold on, the more you know. Okay, go ahead.
The cops have already closed the case, and they finalized on not being charged with abuse, neglect, or any other crime.
Mm.
Hey, it reminds me... What happened to Johnny J when he busted his head open doing a keg stand?
What happened?
Dude, he lost control.
Yeah.
Mike F. and Smitty had his feet, and
right.
They lost control.
So he was doing a keg stand. It was in at the teak house?
Hell yeah.
And you guys were throwing a party?
It wasn't really a party. It was just a normal Monday night.
So he's just doing keg stands on just every Monday night. So he's up there, and Smitty and Moose are holding him?
Mike F.
Mike F. And he slips, and he cracks his skull on the side of the keg.
But he told the dean he slipped on ice.
Right.
We weren't going to tell the dean he... bumped in his head doing a keg stand.
Right.
You don't rat out a brother and you get put on probation anyway, probably by the crusty dean.
Screw him.
Yeah. Plus, you know how it is over at USC, especially those winter nights when the sidewalks get frozen over. You could easily go down wearing the penny loafers.
But he was fine. The only thing he has now, he has a facial tick.
I'm doing a keg stand.
Small price.
Well, yeah, small price.
Last night on American Idol, all of the contestants sang Queen song.
Yeah.
They did say that... I heard it was really lame.
You didn't hear any of it.
No. I did watch the first three singers, and I had to turn it off. It was just a horror. Disgusting.
It was an abortion. It really was. Well, first off, there's nothing worse than hearing 19-year-olds explain to you that they've never heard of this famous Queen song. And by the way, 19-year-olds who are allegedly musicians. I mean, it's one thing to say you don't know anything about chemistry or computers if, in fact, you're doing something else for a living. But I would argue you should know a little bit of the history of your own goddamn sport. You're a singer. You never heard of this Queen song? And by the way, not an obscure Queen song from a weird soundtrack somewhere, but a top maybe number one single Queen song. They also sung songs that I'd never heard of from Queen.
Yeah, the bald fella sang a song from 1991, and it was horrific.
Right, and then Catherine McPhee did one from a soundtrack that I'd never heard of. I would argue that if you're going to sing Queen songs, you need to sing the ones we've heard of.
Did anybody do Flash from Flash Gordon?
Oh,
just save every one of us. That's a dynamite song.
The other thing that was surprising, the other problem with doing Queen is Freddie Mercury just did that thing where he layered his own voice and layered it. They were a real sort of studio band. I mean, they could play, but you're not going to recreate it live. It's going to sound weird. You could just never do it. If you ever tried it in karaoke, it's a disaster. Yeah, listen.
The difference between Freddie Mercury and these karaoke singers was on full display.
Right. Yeah, another disaster.
That's the news. I'm Maverick, and if you're not wasted, today is.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Ruska has now, in the span, I have to tip my hat to him, in the span of 10 seconds, gave me 47 different cues to be quick here.
I know.
Hand gestures, little signs and everything. You're really an accomplished hand signal.
Go.
Creep.
I think he was talking about your penis, by the way.
NBA, with only a few games left in the regular season. The L.A. Kobe's and Kings of Schwarzenegger, both looking good to make the playoffs. Now they're battling it out to see where they'll be seated and who they'll play once the playoffs start up. Lakers beat Golden State last night. Kings lost to the Suns. So as of right now, the Lakers look like they're going to be playing the Mavericks. Kings, world champion San Antonio Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
National pastime. Dodgers lost to the Pirates last night. They felt the sting of the Pittsburgh Lumber Company. Four home runs by the Buccos did the bums in. They'll do it again this evening.
Pittsburgh Lumber Company sounds like the worst gay bar I've ever heard of. Where do you want to go? Want to go to Treasure Island or
don't you disparage
Pittsburgh Lumber
late,
Company?
Don't you disparage the late, great Pop Stargell. That's what you're doing when you mock the Pittsburgh Lumber Company. By the way, Chaz Steiner, our pal and play-by-play guy for the Dodgers, has shaved his beard. It's worth tuning in just to see his clean-shaven puss.
Mm,
Snakes, Arizona. Snakes, Arizona lost at home to the Rockies. Padres went at the Florida Fish. Bonds and Company rained out. American League, Halos beat Texas. M's lose in Cleveland. And the A's lost to the Twins. And I want to go now, quickly, while we have the opportunity. Floyd Mayweather and Zab Judah, welterweight bout, championship mm-hmm. bout over the weekend. Ace, you're a boxing aficionado. Did you mm-hmm. see this fight?
I just saw bits and pieces of it. I was too cheap to get the pay-per-view.
Well, apparently Floyd Mayweather put a whipping on Zab Judah for 10 rounds.
He is the best. He is a notch above everybody. Well, even the world-class guys. He's
Zab Judah, the best name, but he's no slouch either with the fists, yes?
No, but it is...
Floyd is
what Roy Jones Jr. was 5 years ago, mm-hmm. which is... In a sport with great athletes, he's that much better.
Right. And then so Zab, in desperation apparently, gave a low blow to Floyd Mayweather, and then a whole big scrum broke out, fathers jumping into the ring, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
The Ed, our pal from Vegas, was actually at the fight, and he's on the line right now.
Well, we'll find out what went on. You know, I'll tell you, the thing that's ironic about the low blow is the only piece of equipment you wear in boxing that will protect you is a cup, a low foul protector. So it's ironic that the only place you're essentially that gets you hit, that gets a foul, that gets your uncle to jump over the ropes and hit someone with a cell phone is getting hit in the only place that essentially has padding.
Right. Ironic.
Ironic. Right. Ed?
Hello.
You were at the fight?
Yeah, I was. What? I got a ticket.
How did you see it from your perspective?
Well, the Zab, he's a dirty little man anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He fight bad, and he knew what was going to happen before he even took that fight. Because Roger's nephew, Floyd, mm-hmm. is the greatest of all time, and you're going to find that out soon.
Mm-hmm.
No one can beat him. And everybody knew that once Floyd was whooping him, that Zab was going to do something, because Zab, he used to hang out with the Mike Tyson.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you look at his corner people, all them people is the same old Mike Tyson people that mm-hmm. did all that dirty stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't like getting beat up.
So uh-huh. Zab gave Floyd a low blow, and then I said his father, but it was Roger Mayweather, his uncle, Floyd's uncle, jumped into the ring, yes?
That's my friend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know him.
That's how I got my ticket.
Oh, and so a fight, the fight broke, there was a fight, and then a fight broke out, and then what'd you do after the fight?
Well, I went home because I was going to try to hang out a little bit, but mm-hmm. it gets a little too late.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the press conference and listened to what they had to say,
mm-hmm.
and then I went home.
Did you get in the ring, though? Did you jump in with Roger?
Oh, no, I wouldn't do something like that. I was probably about 52 rows up.
Oh, I see. So you were back away from the action where it was safe.
Yeah, I wasn't on the floor. I was when it started to go up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I was probably like maybe 5 or 6 rows up from that.
Well, we'll look for you when we watch it this weekend on HBO.
Fight. I have not missed a fight since 1981.
Mm. Wow, big fan. Haven't. All right.
I love the boxing. And Adam, I need to tell you, my church group is going to be coming to Los Angeles in 2 weeks.
Huh.
And I'm going to ride with them on the church bus because they're going to be singing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to sing with them. I'm going to go to the horse races.
Okay.
And I would like to, I need tickets to your show.
Okay, well, we'll
I want to come by the show and say hi.
We'll get some tickets out. We'll get some tickets right out for you. You can come and see us in person, and while they're off singing the gospel, you'll be at the track playing the ponies.
Yeah, they running on Friday afternoons now, and I got a little money put away.
Okay, I understand.
I ran into a little money this week.
Play the ponies.
You bet Floyd Mayweather.
No, I got my tax check.
Oh, you got to look at your returns. All right. Well, we're running late on time, Ed. We do appreciate you checking in with us, giving us a first-hand account of the Mayweather fight, and look forward to seeing you if, in fact, we can get those tickets printed up.
Send them some out, Preston.
Send them out some tickets. We'll see you in a couple weeks when you come out with the church group. And you, of course, go to the track. Nice job, Maverick. We David Alan Greer's walked in. Also, we have Tom Wilson, actor, comedian. Played Biff on Back to the Future. Kind of looks the same, too. I just saw him walk by. He's going to come in here. All that coming up.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home? Hey, think with fly fish.
What are you looking at, butthead?
Tom Wilson in studio. He's got a little...
Thank you.
Many things.
Please sit down. Thanks.
Back to the Future 1, 2, and 3, by the way. 5-year span. Tom is also Larry the Cable Guy, Health Inspector, which is out in theaters as we speak, and has a CD out called Tom Wilson is Funny. I like that. Simple and to the
it's
point.
It's a very simple title.
How did the whole, we'll go back 15, 20 years, and we'll move forward.
Thank
but
you.
How did Biff get started?
I was doing stand-up in L.A. here, working the Comedy Store, the Improv, and every place, and auditioning just like everybody. I mean, everybody in town auditioned for that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Robbins, all these guys keep coming up to me going, man, you know I was up for that thing? So really? It was like the...
Were they up for Biff? Or
they were
just...
up for Biff, yeah. All these guys were up for Biff. I was up for one of Biff's gang members.
Mm-hmm.
So I was auditioning for one of those guys that was in Biff's car. Because I had done, you know, what before that, I was known for introducing biscuits at Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was in the commercial that introduced biscuits to the world,
I
and
do,
that was
I
my
do remember
yeah,
your work.
I was a
yeah.
young,
Tad's
young
a
construction
huge fan.
Worker.
Tad wanted an autograph when Tom came in, and he said, oh, big Back to the Future, and no, big biscuits fan.
Exactly.
Big,
fresh buttermilk biscuits made from scratch, boink, and then, you know, I got a biscuit.
No,
the world was changed.
Hold on. Tad, quit dancing. He does his food dance out there when you sing about it.
Exactly. So, you know, I audition for it with everybody else, and I keep, like, kind of going up the food chain. You know, now I'm here with 30 guys.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm here with 8 guys. Now they start putting age makeup on me to see, well, how would he act if he was 52 years old or whatever.
Oh, that's right, yeah, because you had to play the 50-year-old Biff.
So then the last, audition comes, and I'm there, and Steven Spielberg is in the room, Robert Zemeckis, all these guys. I'm just a kid going, oh, I hope I get to be one of Biff's gang members. That'd be so radical. So they tell me we want him to be more physical. We just want him to bully more. So I'm auditioning with Crispin Glover.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the guy who eventually gets the thing. So here I am. I've got tickets to a Springsteen concert later that night. Like, this concert's at 8 o'clock. It's like 6:45. I'm at Universal Studios auditioning for this thing. I start throwing Crispin, like, over the table. I'm pushing him into the ceiling. I'm lifting him in the air. I totally blow the audition. Like, I lose my place in the script. I completely forget all the lines because I've been throwing him around so much. I stop the scene.
Maybe that's what made him try to karate chop Letterman 20 years later. Maybe it was the abuse he took from you in the casting office from Back from the Future.
Yeah,
Back to the Future.
I pulled the trigger on Crispin. Anyway, so I go, so I stop the scene, and they're like, thanks, Tom. Crispin, could you stay? But thanks for coming in, Tom. So I leave. I watch an entire Bruce Springsteen concert in a fetal position.
Sure.
Thinking, I just blew the biggest opportunity of my life. And the next morning they call and say, you got the thing. I'm like, oh, wow. One of his gang. No, you got the Biff. You're the guy.
Wow.
So, yeah, so it was good.
Go from Bruce to the Green Line on Back to the Future. It is funny. I was thinking back when you're saying you go to the audition, there's 50 guys, then there's 25 guys, then there's 15 guys. But it's funny, the call you get from your agent, Baby Doll, you're number one. They love you. They want to see you one more time before they sign the deal. And you show up, and there's 28 guys standing there dressed exactly like you. And you think, wow, they loved all of us so much. Did they have to call us all back?
Yep. They love you in particular.
Right.
These
you're
other
the
guys
favorite.
Are just in case.
Yeah.
You don't do really well.
Yeah, 22, that's their lucky number.
Exactly.
Now, are you able, though, see, everybody gets to pick up, if you're a Hollywood celebrity, I imagine, that it's easy to parlay that into women. But if you're the bully, if you're the mean guy from Back to the Future, are the women now, do they shy from you?
The weird part is you have to put them in a headlock.
Mm-hmm.
So,
rough trade.
Only
I like
the
that.
Women who like the big lumberjack type of guy. No, I didn't. I'm as low a level of celebrity as you get.
There's Come Dave. On. There's a Def Frat guy over here.
All right. I'm one step above Eddie Munster, but I'll accept that.
By the way, hold on a second, Tom. We need to take a break because we're running way behind. David Alan Greer. Now, there's a celebrity. He's coming up as well. Also, we'll have more from Tom Wilson. We'll get more into our Back to the Future, and then we'll make our way to the present. From Back to the Future to the present. There's a segue after this.
Good stuff.
Did every song sound exactly the same in 1986 and we just didn't know it? Hope Kimmel's not listening.
I love it, Huey Lewis.
He worships at the Huey Lewis altar every day. Tom Wilson is here. You know Miss Biff.
I just haven't heard that song enough in my life. Can you play it again?
It's been 8 minutes since you heard it.
I just go around in life and say, look, my real name is not Biff, people, all right? Movies are pretend, cars don't fly. When a 5'2" guy punches me in the face, I don't get knocked unconscious.
Tom Wilson is funny is the name of his CD, also out in theaters with Larry the Cable Guy, health inspector. Tom brought his guitar because Tom is multi-talented.
Forget Huey Lewis. He's got a song.
Yeah.
No horn section. Listen, I wrote a song because I get so many questions. I work, clubs around the country as a stand-up comic. I would be standing in the parking lot of the club for 3 hours with people asking me questions. So I figured I got to deal with this in some healthy way. So I just wrote a song to answer everybody, right? When I'm flying in a plane or I'm on the street, there's a lot of friendly people that I like to meet. They shake my head but never ask my name, and they start asking questions that are always the same. Hey, what's Michael J. Fox like? He's nice. What's Christopher Lloyd like? He's kind of quiet. What's Crispin Glover like? Unusual. Stop asking me the question. I went to the bar mitzvah of my nephew Josh. Now, I'm not Jewish, but I like to nosh. Put on my yarmulke, started to pray. When the rabbi leaned over and I heard him say, hey, was that real manure? No, it wasn't. How was that DeLorean? A piece of garbage. Do those hoverboards really fly? It's a movie. Stop asking me the question. Can we take your picture? Come on, look mean. Would you call my friend a butthead on his answering machine? questions just fill my head. I went to my doctor. My doctor said, what does a key grip do? He sets up lights. What does the best boy do? Help the key grip. What does a producer do? I don't know. Stop asking me the question. Do you all hang out together? No, we don't. How's Crispin Glover? I never talked to him. Back to the Future 4. Never happening. Stop asking me the question. Hey, who's the nicest famous guy you know? Adam Sandler. Who is the biggest jerk? Gary Busey. How much money do you make? More than you do. So stop asking me the question.
Wow. That's
nice. Saves a lot of time.
Shocking that someone would have a problem with Gary Busey. I know him as such a demure wallflower. Delight, a good Christian, a spiritual man. I can't believe that another actor would have problems with Gary Busey. I know Gary Busey has gone from sort of comically insane to scarily insane.
I don't know what the change was. The change happened before I met him.
And, I'd say somewhere around Predator 2. Was he in there? Yeah.
No, but you met him on Let's Get Harry,
Let's
right?
Let's Get Harry.
The little scene, but dynamite picture where you go back to get
with
your chum.
Robert Duvall. Yeah.
Some
Robert
cast.
Duvall, Gary Busey, Mark Harmon, all kinds of guys.
Yeah, Gary. Well, Gary, I've known for quite some time because I met him during some pilot or something we were shooting at the House of Blues where he was playing Buddy Holly's guitar. And by the way, if you spend more than 4 minutes with Gary Busey, he will produce Buddy Holly's guitar and play it.
I was doing this movie with him, and it's like 1987 or whatever. We're near Guatemala in Mexico. My wife comes down to the set. Oh, hey, good to meet you. Come on up. So he takes my wife into his trailer, right? So I go into his trailer just to make sure. I don't know. He's crazy. Yes. I don't know what he's going to do. He goes, oh, sit down right here, Caroline. Well, listen to this. Pulls out the guitar. What? He sings my wife, Caroline, like a solo concert of all of Buddy Holly's songs.
He did three songs that Buddy Holly never actually recorded when I was with him. Buddy Holly did 31 songs. He did 35 songs for me. And he did the whole story about, I got this from Buddy Holly's widow in 1979 when she passed it on to me. And she said that nobody deserved this guitar except for me. And I went all back to Tallahassee to go pick it up. It's like crazy.
I went to get snacks. I'm like, I knew she was safe. Okay, honey, I'll be back. I go back in 20 minutes. I come in. Oh, that'll be the day. I'm like, what? What's the deal?
I worked on the reality show a couple of years ago, you know, about Busey. I'm with Busey. He always had with him a metal attaché case, you know, like you see in espionage pictures. You know?
I don't know if that was that the plate in his head because it sticks out.
Maybe it was. No, you see, he takes the attaché. He always has it with him for weeks. I'm wondering, what is he carrying around in that attaché every day? One day I'm in his trailer. He pops it open. It's filled to the gills, completely stuffed with little bags of Fritos and Doritos.
I was going to say, what's it full of? Churros?
Tom Wilson, by the way, is here. Comedian Tom Wilson. We're reminiscing about Back to the Future. He was, of course, Biff, and now we're digging into Gary Busey. Screw Busey, because he was supposed to come on this show. I am, in fact, friendly with him, even though I clearly realize he's insane. And after producing Buddy Holly's guitar from his wallet, by the way, keeps it in his wallet. Many people keep pictures of their children in the wallet. He keeps Buddy Holly's
guitar
in his wallet.
Buddy Holly was much smaller than people think. He
played a ukulele.
Very tiny man.
Yeah, but he was supposed to come on this show, but he barricaded himself in his house and would not come out.
Sure.
Yeah.
We tried to lure him out with beautiful women. Even that wasn't enough.
Chip in and just leave him in his house.
I would argue, though, that you can't barricade yourself in your own house. That's just not leaving. You know, you can barricade. You see it in the news. He barricaded himself in his house. I'm barricaded in my house when I'm not outside my house. I would argue that you can only do that in someone else's house. But let's not give him a break. I'm just saying he would not come out and do this program.
Man. One time he would
but
not
Sandler,
come out.
Sandler, you know.
Yeah, I know Adam, yeah.
Good guy?
Excellent guy. Adam's a great guy.
For a second, I thought you were going to say Adam Carolla. Just for one second, when you're singing the song and you're going, my favorite celebrity is Adam. I thought,
Adam, hey,
Sandler.
Adam, you're on the medal stand.
Oh, really? I'm up there.
And the bronze is a fine, fine medal to have.
Mm-hmm.
The bronze medalist
the silver?
In Nice Guys That I Know.
Who gets the silver?
Silver shared by a lot of people.
Oh, interesting.
The silver, yeah, silver, it's
smart.
Like kind of one of those hockey team kind of medal stands.
Yeah, we all take
with
it.
A lot of guys taking silver.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler for gold. Well, Mark Harmon's a good guy, gold. There are a lot of gold medalists.
Mm-hmm, more
and,
than one
know,
gold.
But bronze?
But Busey, definitely.
DQ.
Wow. Disqualified.
He tried a hot dog move on the last jump. He's out of the medal run.
Wow. Bad. All right, where the hell are we? David Alan Greer, by the way, is chomping at the bit and ready to come in. I think we'll take a break and bring David in. Tom, thank you for dishing the dirt, not only on Busey, but the song. My pleasure. Was amazing.
Thanks for having me.
Tom Wilson. Tom Wilson is funny. Name of the CD. Is the song on the CD?
All the songs on the CD, yeah.
Oh, well.
A bunch of other songs and stuff.
Yeah, listen, it's worth it just for the one song.
Just for the one song, it is worth it.
Larry the Cable Guy also out in theaters as we speak. You can find Tom in that. Tom, thank you very much. David Alan Greer in next.
Hello.
Hey, my name's Dean. I just called because, you know, want to get my groove on.
Are you feeling kind of horny?
Real horny, you know what I mean?
Oh, I hear you. I'm getting pretty hot, too.
Are you rubbing your love button?
I'm sorry, what are you doing?
You know what I love about that? I'm the mastermind behind that. Sure, Dave is the genius behind the vomit, but I am the, I pull the strings. I was sitting in the studio just riding on the Marx-a-Lot board vomit, pointing at it.
Crank anchors.
Yes, and I think people think that we added that sound effect, but they don't realize that Daggeroni can crank that up in real time.
Yeah, but you, it really came to maturity.
Mm-hmm.
On your show. Because really true. I remember I did this like Oxygen show or something years ago. All chicks called the pajama party.
Yeah.
So it was one guy and I did the throw up sound like for the first time and they were all like, "That you scared me. Don't do that. I thought you were not feeling well." You know, and I was like so unappreciated. I said, I got to get out of here. I got to quit show business because I'm just, you know.
Well, you're just at the wrong place.
Well, you know, a lot of times, Adam, I heard, you know, John Lennon when he was 12, 13, he said, "Hey, you know, I want to be in a pop band called the Beatles. Get out of here. What are you, nuts?
Sure.
What are you, nuts?"
Yeah.
You know, and then he found his place and bingo.
That's right.
Bingo.
Now, you know that always, we're digressing a little, but the thing that's crazy is, now, who shot him? Was it Chapman, or is he the guy who shot Reagan?
Chapman and Hinckley.
The thing that's crazy, I get them flip-flopped, too, but it's Mark David Chapman. The thing that's crazy about that story is 10 years before Chapman shot John Lennon, he tried to kill himself.
Mm.
He was living in Hawaii. He pulls his car onto a deserted beach at dawn and says, "I'll just watch the sunrise one more time while I pump carbon monoxide into my Pinto, and I'm going to kill myself." And he did. He started to do it. He was passed out, and a surf fisherman happened by, saw him, opened the door, pulled him out, resuscitated him. He sent him to the hospital. He got mended, and then later on went and put a bullet into John Lennon. Now, how cosmically crazy is that? The guy was all but dead.
And how about that poor guy who saved him? You remember the old Twilight Zone or Night Gallery, and the guy goes, "Hey, who's that howling?" You know, he pulls up, and he stays in his big castle, and some weird guy lets him in. And he says, "Who's that howling behind door number two?" He says, "Don't open that door."
Oh, yes, the devil.
He lets the devil out. So for the rest of his life, he's tortured. That's what this guy must feel like.
It's got to be crazy.
Oh, at the end of the bar every night. Why me? Why me? Why me?
And it's funny, too. You got to go from the first 5 years before he puts a bullet into Lennon. It's got to be bragging about it. Saved a guy's life, too. Yeah. What are you talking about? I never saved anyone.
Right.
Changing the story.
You know what? Here's me trying to kill myself. I put a 9mm in my mouth. Clip is filled with hollow points.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled the trigger. That's trying to kill yourself.
That's trying
to kill yourself. You don't go to the beach in a Pinto. How's he getting the carbon monoxide in there?
No, I agree.
Come on.
You kill yourself, you do it right.
Yeah, don't make any last phone calls. Just boom.
No, when David Alan Greer decides to kill himself, we'll all know it because that'll be the day the comedy dies.
Thank you.
Dies.
And I want you to host my roast at the Comedy Store.
I'll do that.
And then that's when I rise from the dead. Because that is the most evil end to any performer, really. The Comedy Store benefit.
And I know if David could be here right now, he'd be doing that fake vomit thing.
Let's all together, if I could, everybody in the room, guys.
We could just have a couple minutes of fake vomiting.
One,
everyone would just please
two,
bow
just
their
best
head
you can.
And vomit.
One, two, three.
Oh. Robin Williams crying as the fake bonnets out. And I look up, that's for you, brother. Does anyone have the balls to look down and go, that one was for you, brother? There's no doubt Dag would be in hell. Man.
I know that you'd be writing material, though. That'd be good. You know, with the little cards. Hey, here's one. I haven't tried this one.
Yeah. Dave, speaking of writing material, did you have any names for my unborn twins? Because they're coming soon.
Let me tell you something, Adam. Always at home, always inspired. You know, I'm your biggest fan, next to being a fan of myself. Sure. And frankly, listeners of the Adam Carolla Show, I'm shocked. Mm-hmm. I was disappointed. I was dismayed at the thoughtlessness that went into some of these names. I know you for years. Mm-hmm. I know your love of cars. And I have tried, especially with the girls, to do two things you love. Speed and Ebonics. I've tried to combine those two.
Those are my two names. Loves.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to try to combine, cross-pollinate those two cultures. Yeah,
I love cars. Speed, Ebonics, Corolla.
I love the black language. Yeah.
Now, first of all, I have a few boys' names, but these are to represent your macho persona. We can start it off really quick. Stick Corolla.
I like that name of a Burt Reynolds movie from the 80s. Stick Corolla.
Turbo. Good. Turbo Corolla.
Turbo's nice, too.
Break.
I don't know. It suggests stopping, you know, the
fuel.
Lack of motion.
Fuel.
Sounds like fool. Sounds like Ozzy's calling me a
this
fool.
This is a good one. Indy.
Oh, Indy is nice.
That is good.
Indy Corolla.
It's got the car race. It's got independence. It's got indie film, indie band. I like that.
Indiana Jones.
What was that?
Vroom!
Oh, just vroom?
Vroom!
How many O's in that?
I put two, but you could put three or four. If you're black, there'd be seven. Vroom! Vroom! Please come up the front. Vroom Corolla.
That's good, guy, has something.
You have one?
Bro, I don't want to steal your thunder, but I got a really cool name.
What do you got?
For a boy or a girl. Chugly.
All right, see, this is what I'm talking about, man. There's no respect. There's no love. There's no love. That is just wrong.
I don't know if I want to do a drinking name. Okay, Dad, give us one more, then we'll take a break. And we'll
Muscle Corolla. That is my favorite. Muscle Carolla.
Oh, get car. It? Muscle
Corolla. Muscle Corolla.
Yeah, because I like cars, and the first three letters of Corolla spells out car.
You know
That's
what I'm saying? Thinking with the old canoodle, my friend.
Yeah, you could go electric, car, Corolla.
There you go. There you go. There you go. And wait till you hear the girls' names, because I feel like I outdid myself, man.
Okay.
You know, up all night. I pulled all night in my drawers, you know, just like Tom Cruise.
We'll take a break.
But
there,
I didn't have a cute white girl with me. I was just by myself with the porn. But I was writing, baby.
We're still on the air.
Oh.
Reel it in, baby.
Sorry about that.
David Allen, Career Dag, also known as my main man in studio. He's got some more names.
That's Groatling.
Also, maybe Maverick will come up with a few better than Chugly.
I thought it was a really cool name, bro.
Okay, well, think it out next time. We'll be back with Dag and his names after this.
He's known as a joke killer.
Time now for free advice from heavyweight champion James Lights Out Tony.
Dear James Lights Out Tony, I'm writing concerning my daughter, who is 10. She signed up to play basketball, but now she cries whenever she has to go to practice or to games, and she wants to stop playing. Her mother and I divorced. Her mom says it's okay for her to quit, but I raised her believing that when you start something, you should finish it. Now it looks like I'm the bad guy. Should I let her go ahead and quit or make her finish? The Bad Guy, Circleville, Ohio.
Dear bad guy, before making your final decision, talk with your daughter and find out what's going on at those basketball games and practices that driving her to tears. She may have a good reason for wanting to quit. However, if she does quit, she should replace basketball with another sport or pastime that will keep her active, such as dancing, self-defense, or gymnastics, etc.
Free advice from heavyweight champion James Lights Out Tony.
Man, it's good stuff.
I agree. I'm going to sign up my kid for gymnastic, too.
Wow. Gymnastic. Is that just one participant?
Listen, I got to say, Dag, I know you're not the representative of all brothers, but what is it with the monies and then the gymnastic? That seems like a pretty easy one to do.
Well, it's free-form language, man, you know.
Yeah, I'm not coming down on your people,
I mean languages.
I'm just saying gymnastics and money would seem like a layup.
Well, Adam Carollas, you know, you like to pluralize when not supposed to be, because I like you that much, Adam Carollas. I want more than one, you know.
Yeah, no, but here's the thing. If you're going to pluralize, just do everything, and then you'll be right half the time. Don't, you guys, you just make...
Law of averages.
Yeah, go gymnastics and monies, and at least you'll be right 50% of the time, as it is now.
Gymnastics,
you
monies.
Got your children's, your monies... And your gymnastic and the shrubs.
Sure is.
Sure.
I had a bus driver named Pinky Pillows when we were a little kid. I love you, Terrence. Please remain seated. All right, damn. He's always chewing on stuff, too. Like, how you doing? How you doing, little man? All right, now. How your mama doing? Okay, then. Watch the door. Watch the door. He would cry, too. He would lecture. Like, I love y'all, children. Please, I can't have all this. Stop throwing the popcorn. Please remain seated. Watch the door.
He would pick you up and drive you to school every morning?
Well, no. It was a constant race. My mother had to drive us to a bus stop. You know, so that all the kids, like certain bus
right.
stops were all
she
the
would
kids.
Pass the school on the way to the bus
oh,
stop
yeah.
and drop
oh, yeah.
you off
Trust
further
me.
From where you lived.
We were never on time. We were never on time. It was always, get in the car! You know, we had to cut the bus off and, you know, always have the breakfast in the hand. And, you know, it was ugly. It was ugly.
I always lived across the street from the school.
That
I
was
went
cool,
to.
Man. Yeah, when I was a little kid, I wanted to be like the dudes that could go home for lunch. Oh, my God, man, that's great.
Yeah.
I thought that at that age it was cool, but, you know.
Yeah, there's something very intoxicating about eating civilian food when you're uh-huh. actually at school. It's like escaping from a prison, eating at a Pizza Hut, and being right. dragged back into the hole.
Yeah. Or the kid who had, like, they had these wax sticks filled with, like, Kool-Aid.
Yeah,
the
juice.
Oh, man. And the kids who got all that stuff, my mother was like, get in the car. Get you some tube full of Kool-Aid, man. Sugar. Get you some. Get in the car.
Do you, yes. Speaking of mothers, I got twins on the way.
Man.
As you know, you've had some pretty good ideas. I like Vroom.
Vroom!
So far.
I like Muscle Corolla. That's what my favorite
Muscle
one is.
Car Rolla. Yeah.
But let's talk about the girls, Adam. Mm-hmm. Now, whoever comes out of your wife's loins, that's mm-hmm. female, she's going to be a daddy's girl.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured I got to do something special.
Mm-hmm.
I got to dig deep in my hip pocket. Mm-hmm. And this is what I've come to. I mm-hmm. present to you the names that you should consider.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, Carburetor.
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 Not
No, carburetor.
Uh-huh.
See what I'm saying? Octania.
Octane,
you know?
Like octane.
Octane. Now,
I hate to put you on the spot, but if you're on the porch of your
uh-huh.
mother's
okay.
house
right.
and you're a 50-something-year-old heavyset black
uh-huh.
woman and it was time
uh-huh.
to come
in
to eat dinner and the streetlights had just come on, how uh-huh. would you call carburetor and octania?
Let's go to octane. Octania! Octania! You better bring your flip-flops home. Something like that.
Yeah, okay, that's
Carburetor.
Good. Again, I just want to know what it sounds like conversationally.
Are we heating up, man? I got another one. Acceleratia.
I like that.
Oh, how about overhead cami?
Oh, that's interesting because...
Overhead cami.
Yeah, cami is a name.
Mm-hmm, but you put a little dip on it.
You
overhead cami.
Again, I probably digress again, mm-hmm. but I met... John Edelbrock, the guy Ooh. Edelbrock invented yeah. Edelbrock carburetors, Edelbrock heads. This guy makes millions and millions of dollars every year selling aftermarket car parts. He named his daughter Cammy.
There you go.
He named his actual daughter after yeah. a car part.
But you say overhead hyphen Cammy.
Cammy. Yeah, overhead
So
Cammy.
You're in fifth grade. Robert?
Present.
Tony?
Present.
Overhead cami.
Here! I like that.
How about one? Differentialing!
I like the differential.
Differential of the car, man. I'm thinking, baby.
Differentialing.
Differentialing!
Again,
differentialing!
Again, what would that sound like? You're on the porch. Let's say you're mixing a bowl. You have your smock on. Maybe you're wearing your house coat and slippers.
On the phone.
You're
mm-hmm.
on the phone.
Mm, I know, baby.
What
I
would
know.
That sound like?
I know. Mm. I know. Hold on. Differentialing! I did a little thing to it.
Yeah.
Come on now. Dinner's on. And wash these dishes.
I like go. That. Yeah.
How about Burnt Roberta?
Burnt Roberta.
Burnt Rubber.
Roberta. See what I'm saying?
That's
I'm thinking.
Good stuff.
Automonica.
Automonica. Yeah, like Monica, there but Automonica.
Automonica. Automonica.
Yeah, again, put that into a sentence with the heavyset black woman. What would that sound like? And by the way, David, once the kids get old enough to play outside, you're going to have to come over every day at 5:30 and yell from my porch wearing a house coat.
I'm going to do a videotape for your children. It's going to be when they're little toddlers, and we can make some recordings that you can play, that you could just crank out, that you don't really have to call for them.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean? Put the speakers out.
I'll fire it up over the loudspeakers like the Ice Cream Man.
Absolutely.
Maybe you'll lay a couple down right now, and you can bang
We got to see which ones you like. Now, I got this is a banging last name. I said, you got to say the less for, say the best for last. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
The final name for the baby girl. Transmission Maculata.
Thank you and good night. Enjoy your headliner. I'm just here because I love to be on stage.
Transmission Maculata. I would just go short and go tranny.
Ooh, you don't want to put that on.
You're right. No, touche. That is right.
Now, the leaders in the clubhouse then are, so if I'm not mistaken, Vroom and Transmission Maculata Corolla. We are two beautiful twins.
I like differentialing too.
Again, put that in a heavyset black woman sentence. Sure, one time. I'm going to close my eyes, David, and see what that would sound like.
Okay, wait a minute. Who toy this is? Differentialing. Come here and get these Barbie dolls off the couch. Differentialing.
Yeah, that's good.
Thank you.
That's good.
It wasn't me. It was Vroom.
Vroom.
Well, you the slowest child to name Vroom. I don't know why your daddy named you Vroom. He should have named you Stop Sign. Cause you the slowest. And look at you. You want to get speedy on cleaning up your room.
You got a name.
If it was Chogley, it'll be like
he can't hear you, Daddy.
It'll be like Chogley. You better clean up those pumpkins or the Sayus are going to do a dance on your face.
Okay.
So you're saying,
clean up those
if I name the kid Chugley, and the kid goes over to the Sig house and smashes their pumpkins on Halloween, that's how it would sound if it was
put
in a sentence.
Chugley, put down that potato gun. All the Italians are going to come to do a dance on all our faces.
Right. I'm not sure they're going to be born into a fraternity, though. I mean,
do you know Diff Rat Guy, one day you're going to have to say goodbye to that fraternity. You know that. There's life after you graduate in 3 or 4 years.
My thesis advisor says there's a pretty good chance of me graduating this year.
There's nothing sadder than a frat guy.
He just can't let go.
No.
He can't let go. And I think he sees the world through the glasses of a fraternity boy. He thinks we're not living in a home, we're living in a frat house. You know, everything is about cleaning
up
pumpkins.
It's probably unrealistic to think that your children are going to dispatch your kids to go and torment rival frat.
And you can't haze your children. That's called abuse, okay? You know what I mean? You can't make them sit on big blocks of ice and, hold olive
goldfish
in their butt cheek.
Right, right.
Why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free?
Okay, I don't sense a lot of listening going on, but given the affliction, I'm not going to dwell on it.
You got to look right at him.
There you go.
Caller Mike, do you have some names for us?
Hey, love the show, man.
Thank you.
And I don't know if I can compete with those, but, on the nursery rhyme theme, mortar and pestle, like Hansel and Gretel.
Mortar and pestle. Something I say toss crush those. Drugs in, yeah.
No, I say toss those away. How does that represent you?
Yeah, no, I'm not a pharmacist.
No, listen to me, Adam. And you know what? I hate to get angry here, but I'm very angry. I'm up, Look at me, Adam.
Sorry.
How does that represent you? You love cars.
Right.
You love speed.
Yes.
You love big-breasted, beloved Italian women. That does not represent you. You're not a pharmacist.
That's a good point. Mike,
cut them off.
How do you defend that?
Well, the bricklayer, mortar, I mean, construction.
Well, you do use mortar to set bricks.
Let me retract that last statement. I'm a little hot-headed.
Well, they are white names. Sorry, David.
No, let's not go there.
Don't play the race card.
Why do you got to do
now,
that?
Now, all of a sudden, I'm the black stripper, and you're a Duke.
All of a sudden, we're in lacrosse. You know, yeah.
And how gay is lacrosse, by the way? Has anybody ever brought that up? The men's lacrosse team? Come on.
Yeah, anytime you wear shoulder pads and no pants, it's gay.
I know, and a stick, and you're all like, you know.
But I did. The one thing I have got from the whole thing, forget about the racial overtones and everything, the one thing I figured out is Duke Lacrosse is a great porn name. Who are you going to be working with, man?
Duke Lacrosse.
Oh, he's the best. They call him the decorator. Duke Lacrosse.
You want me to prime this room?
Duke Lacrosse.
Yes.
Yeah. Got a full tank of gesso ready to do his priming.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. We need to take a break. Dag, hang out with us.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, why not? We're going to do, Def Rat Guy's going to do the news.
I look forward to that. Can I have a pillow and a blanket?
I have a bombshell to drop.
Wow.
Okay. All right, so that's going to be next. Dag will be sawing logs while you're doing the news.
Much respect, man. Peace and chicken grease.
Dag's hanging out. News and sports after this.
Don't
laugh, Dave.
Oh, baby. Me got the girl.
Please, David.
I was thinking girl. Of a joke. Wait, I really got laughing. For me.
You're not laughing at Maverick.
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
Tell that tip about all alone. Never know if I make it home.
I'm laughing at David laughing, Mav. I'm not laughing at you.
I don't know what's funny. Just a regular frat dude rocking out.
Well, you know, I was laughing at that joke, you know. Why'd the publicist cross the road? She was paid to, you know.
I can't feel the name. Laugh. Look, here's the whole thing. I think Maverick or, you know, Jason, Def Rat Guys, you guys know him. And the whole thing about him is fitting in and not wanting to be treated any different than any other fifth-year senior over at SC who's at the teak house, right?
Regular dude who
regular
loves
brew
and chases babes, right?
Graduation is right around the corner. I need a job, dude. I'll do anything here.
Right. The point is you're a regular dude. You don't want any special treatment, and you don't look at yourself as impaired.
No, dude, I just knew what I got to do, whether it's having a good time or getting a job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Nathan?
Hey, what's up, Adam?
What's happening? You love Def Rat Guy doing the news?
Oh, this guy's awesome, dude. Maverick is the man.
He really is. He's doing a great job.
Maverick. I like that.
I wouldn't be surprised if one of the agencies snapped him up. CNN, Fox News.
Ooh. Can I do a sidebar here? I had to cut you off. Mm-hmm. Maverick, look over here. Do you see me? Watch my lips. I hope you know that when you graduate in a couple of years, you're going to have to use your real name. Like in the real world, we don't have nicknames. Do you understand that?
I like Maverick. It's a cool name, bro.
Yeah, but you can't be doing legitimate news, and you can't go into the corporate world named Maverick.
Right. They're going to think you're a criminal.
No, works for Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah.
His real name's Seth.
But what about Sting? I'm going to go now, Adam, because it looks like it's just pot shot time and David.
No, Dad.
No, because, Dad, you know, no. I come in here, no. I did my homework. I'm not just coming, you know, with sub up, and like that guy, Dave, he just like sucker punched me.
No, calm down,
you know?
Dave.
No, I'm Dave. Not going to calm down.
No, Dave, I'm not going to calm down.
Shh.
If we could just.
You know what, though, Adam?
Why?
Dave, just fall. Dave. Dave. He gets, he's physically sickened by that attack, Dave.
You understand? Like Jerry Orbach in Dirty Dancing when I'm wrong. I owe him an apology.
Let me tell you something, Dave. I'm talking to Damashek now. David Allen Greer's a dear, dear friend. And he's a sensitive, kind-hearted man who takes things very personally. And when you assault him, even if it's verbally, he has a physical, visceral reaction to it. No different than if you flung fecal matter at him and caused him to vomit. It's no different. And threw it at David Allen Greer, forcing some to go into his eye and even up his nose.
I don't think you're helping.
Yes. What?
I know I am, but what are you?
Oh, so sad.
My words were unfair.
Take it back.
Now I feel like a black deaf god.
Oh, black deaf god. Dave, take it back.
Dag, I take it back.
Okay.
All right, good. We're past that.
Man. Hey, I'm your friend again.
Beautiful.
Ditto.
Deaf Freck, I know you got to do the news.
Sorry,
here's a quickly news topic. Mike is on the phone. Mike?
Hey, Adam. How's it
going? Good. We have a bad connection. What's your question?
I was calling about the guy who crashed his Ferrari Enzo on PCH on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about this story? Did you see the picture?
Yeah,
sure.
How do you miss it? Yeah, it was about a month ago, actually, now.
Oh, okay. I got the story late. I was just curious on your take on it.
Well, it was interesting. They said the guy was going like 160 miles an hour down PCH in the wee hours of the morning. And by, it's one of these things where you kind of appreciate it. Like, well, he has a $1 million car that has 650 horsepower that's made out of carbon fiber, and he's going to open it up. God love him. But he got out of control.
Would you choose PCH, though?
It's a tough stretch of road, but there are certain stretches where you could open up. I don't know, about 160,
wow.
maybe 95 or 100. Wrapped himself around a telephone pole and did that crazy thing where Dale Earnhardt died. He was wearing a full harness, had a full cage around him, and looked like he just brushed a wall at Talladega, and he's dead. This guy's car broke in half at 160 miles an hour, and they have to do that didn't get a scratch thing.
Well, you know that there's something bad going. This guy's got some ties to the mob or something like that. He says he was in a drag race with a Mercedes.
But wait.
Now the cops say no.
Mm-hmm. I thought he said that he wasn't driving.
Yeah, right. he was a passenger.
He said the guy fled the car who was driving. And then,
which way did he go off?
That way.
Then it turned out he was part of, like, the Swedish mafia, which just sounds quaint to me.
Yeah, well, they're very nice, apparently.
Get some meatballs. They assemble some furniture for you. That
reindeer meatballs.
Uses Allen screws to go together, and then they off you. Yeah, and then I don't know the rest of the story. Now it just keeps unfolding.
Well, obviously, yeah, he's got some stuff he's trying to cover up, saying I wasn't driving. It was somebody
illegally.
It was in a drag race. Yeah, he's here illegally, and then hit the address that he gave when they asked him, what's your address? He gave the address of a $14 million yacht that's out in the harbor somewhere.
Well, let me say this. It's just on the heels of all the protests that are going on in the city.
By whom are you referring?
People that are here illegally. And I don't want to get preachy.
Why would you say illegals?
Well, they're here illegally.
But they're not criminals.
Okay, but they're here illegally just like this guy was. And again, I don't want to stereotype, and I don't want to get preachy, and I don't want to become racist, I don't want to sound racist, but you people, you come into our country, you buy your $1 million Ferrari, you wind it up going down our coastal highways, and then you destroy our $1 million Ferraris, claiming there was another man behind the wheel fled into the hills. I mean, I've heard the story 1,000 times.
Ditto.
This is why we can't get the potholes fixed. This is why our schools are overcrowded, because these people that come here, they hop in our supercars. Oh, I know, you have the yacht, the $15 million yacht that's anchored just outside of Paradise Cove. Yes, Dave, I know.
Question
again, I don't want to sound racist, but I've heard this story so many times.
Well,
and now you take
cars
to the street and you go.
You said our cars. It was a Ferrari, which is Italian.
Well, so I'm half Italian. I'm just saying, when
Italian,
I see these protesters.
You know what I am? I'm all American, okay, buddy?
You don't go with the African American?
Yeah, somebody.
Yeah, when you're hanging out the Wayans Brothers somebody, trying to get somebody, the next gig, it's African American. Sure.
Hey, baby, come on.
I'm just saying, I see these people out protesting Ferrari parking lots downtown filled with red Ferraris. I know what they're doing. I've heard this story. Oh, go back to your million-dollar yachts. Oh,
you come in hopping a fence,
Harbor.
But when you leave our beloved country, it's
vroom. That's right. They drive that Ferrari right across the Rio Grande.
There you go. Right back to Chihuahua, Mexico.
Park it outside of the farms, pick a few head of cabbage, and it's right back into the Ferrari.
I'm angry now.
And now in the meantime, look at this one. The Def Frat guy is chomping at the bit. Wow. He supposedly has a bombshell he wants to drop.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. All right, let's do that. Let's focus. Let's reel it in. I'm sorry I got preachy there, but it is now time for Maverick, Def Frat Guy, and the news.
So is that the Zachary... Whatever. His death penalty trial will hear the first bomber playing on the cockpit voice recorder.
Mm-hmm.
Then Britney Spears and Kevin Federline's baby fell out of the high chair and fractured his skull.
Yeah. I'm telling you, a high chair. It's an accident waiting to happen. Lower that chair.
How about floor seat?
How about low chair? Yeah. And they go, well, they can't make it to the table. What happened to the kids' table? Remember when you were a kid?
Absolutely.
Thanksgiving?
I actually fell out of a high chair and busted my lip. My sister pushed me.
Yeah. See? If only David had a low chair. Over grandmama's house.
Baby beanbags.
Thanksgiving.
But screw those stories.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you got bigger.
I'm about to drop a bomb.
For 3 hours, we've been hearing about this bombshell.
Now, apparently, Ashley and Moose hooked up.
Which Ashley?
The tried-out.
Ashley, the tried-out. Not the one. Is she the one that looks like Misha Barton?
Yeah, that one.
The one you've been with yourself.
No, I was with Ashley who shaved down below.
Okay.
No, wait.
Okay. No, what happened with her and Moose?
No. Well, here's the bombshell.
Dave, wake up and focus, would you, buddy?
You're talking about Ashley and Moose.
There's a bombshell.
Moose and Ashley hooked up.
Right.
Now, she's been bad-mouthing him, calling him Quick Draw McGraw.
Oh, man.
And Moose is really bummed out.
Right.
He's really bummed out. Now, look, I'm going to get personal.
Uh-oh.
Ashley and I were friends. Maybe more than friends.
Sure.
Maybe we were friends with benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope everyone's listening, because I got a bombshell for you. You, Ashley, you're not exactly April Fresh down below.
Oh, no! No! Whoa! Whoa! Now, this is Ashley the tried-out, right?
The tried-out.
Oh, my God. Woo! She's going to take a ribbon from her house. Oh. So you're saying you're with her, and you've been with fresher ladies.
You get personal with me, I'll give it right back to you, bitch.
Wow!
Is this maybe just sour grapes because she moved on to Moose or what?
Dude, she's been with half the house. But don't rag on Moose. He was on antibiotics.
Well, the good news is about Moose is that there's been, I mean, you've sat here before and sort of suggested that he might not even be into the girls. He might be into the fellas.
Dude,
now that's a sign.
But mean anything.
If Moose is getting wood when you guys are grappling, there's something going on.
That means
something.
He got wood.
Def Frat Guy, you better hear me. It means something. You know what I'm saying?
At him when he says that. Something.
I know it means something, but he also got wood watching Mick Jagger.
Oh.
All right, that's it. Adam, I'm going to step out. I can't,
That's the news. This is that Frat Guy. Remember, if you're not wasted today,
it's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Ace, the Def Rat Guy reminds me. He has his closing line. Please give me my opening line.
Okay. And now it's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Dave knows the score.
That's right. You get
it's time.
I know what the scores are.
Right.
And I'll tell them to you
know what the score is.
I know the score.
Right, right. Bigger
number
picture, yeah.
One. Sports. Do it, Dave.
Let it begin. NBA. Only a few games left in the regular season. The LA Kobe's and the Kings of Sacramento, both looking good to make the playoffs. Now battling it out to see where they'll be seated. Last night, Lakers beat Golden State. Kings lost to the Suns. National pastime, Dodgers lost to the Pirates. They felt the sting of the Pittsburgh Lumber Company.
Yes.
The Bats belted the bums into the ground. Four home runs from the Buccos, and they'll play again tonight. Snakes of Arizona lost at home to the Rockies. Padres won at the Florida Fish. Bonds and Company rained out. American League, Halos beat Texas, Mariners lost in Cleveland, and the A's lost to the Twins in the land of the sex boat.
Here's how you know that Minnesota, here's how you know that baseball is not an important sport and it's insignificant, no one cares. When games get rained out, you just move right on. First off, so what if one got rained out? There's another 1,300 to play. And then secondly, there's 400 going on at any given time. So if one gets rained out, it's no big deal. Imagine the devastation of having a Sunday rained out in the NFL. Not that it's possible, but I just mean if there wasn't a game, if the Steelers weren't playing Sunday.
Just how about the fact that they played through the rain?
I was going to say, when I was a kid, man, they would have like no dome stadiums. Green Bay Packers, Detroit Lions, sleet.
Yes.
Sleet,
yes.
Frozen ground. Playing and through it.
Right.
Here's another denouncement on the sport of baseball is that, you know, they make it up. They say, well, we'll just play two tomorrow. Try that in football.
Yes, try that in any real sport.
But when they called the All-Star game, it's too late. Yeah. We're going to stop.
We're tied. Let's go home.
Oh,
tied
so
or tied-er.
Tired.
Yes, thank
if
you.
If you were on steroids, I would boo you.
Thank you.
Boo, Adam.
And now, we know what booing sounds like.
A special request from Dag, our guest. Mm-hmm. Usually guests don't request stories being brought up, but I'll close with the story about the soccer fans in Buenos Aires. Mm. Rival fans driving in buses were straddled one another. They pulled up next to each other, and then Dag, what happened?
They get out, and it's a brawl.
It's a brawl.
Like, how many people are injured? The police had to come.
121 people arrested, 16 people injured, 3 of them in serious condition.
Yeah.
I can't wait to move to Europe. It's so much friendlier there.
Soccer fans are awesome. They drink the high-octane beer. There's no way they get cut off. I mean, here we get cut off at halftime because a few Raider fans get out of hand. They never get cut off. They're probably S-faced on those buses. I mean, everyone, including the bus drivers, loaded on that bus, and then it's just a brawl. And
this
it's great
like
to see.
This is gang stuff. This is like gang stuff. They go, hey, man, where you get that scarf, man?
Yeah.
How's that, Manchester, man? Pow, 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 pow.
The other thing that's funny, too, I don't like to make fun of the foreigners, but they do fight like girls.
Wow.
The Buenos Aires guys, yeah. They're drunken, they're Thank skinny, God. They're tan, they're scary. It's one step up from bitch fighting, and they go at it with
Well, describe
other.
The approach. It's kind of one foot up and hand.
Right, one foot
and hand. Hopping.
They basically, they do a flying goose step, I call it. And the thing that's funny about it, too, is they're soccer fans, so they sort of lead with their feet, and they're not great with the fisticuffs because they enjoy a sport that involves the feet.
So would we win? So would America win in a fight? Just fist fights across the globe.
I gotta believe if a couple of the brothers from the Raider Nation jumped off the bus, you know, with the shoulder pads and the big styrofoam spikes sticking out of them, those guys would hop back in the bus, crap themselves, and head back to Buenos Aires.
Ron Artest.
That's all we need. Put Ronnie up there.
Bill.
Put him on the
bench. Let me ask you something, man. Have you seen this new reality show? It's about the cage wrestlers on Spike TV, and it's Tito versus
Fighting. No,
the Ultimate Fighter.
Oh, here you go. Yeah.
There's a deaf guy on it.
Oh, really?
One of the toughest deaf guys.
Your hero.
Yeah.
He's a really cool guy.
Wow, man. I'm getting serious for a moment.
His voice dropped there.
Yeah. Man.
You're not a fighter, though, like that, are you?
Wow.
If someone comes over, for example, they will get their ass kicked. I'm not saying it happened, but maybe it did, and maybe someone who may have been a Sayu was on the receiving end of serious beatdown.
Right. So you say you guys were throwing a mixer, and maybe hypothetically some guy from the Sayu house came up, stood on your bar, and urinated, and you guys just pounced, huh? Like soccer fans.
Now,
wow.
Deaf frat guys, you look at me, please. Do you go to USC?
Hell yeah.
All right. I had a friend who graduated USC, and he had a big football helmet chair, and he used to watch his football games. But if you sat in the football helmet chair, you had hell to pay.
Oh, yeah. You don't see that was a king's helmet chair.
His wife made him get rid of it.
All right. All right. We need to tell you. We need to take a break.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
We're running a little late. I feel bad, but last time a Maverick was in here, well, just hold on 1 second, gay board operator. We, the gypsies stole your wallet and you guys are off at a, guys off for spring break over.
They told us they were
in Havasu.
Told us they were exchange students from Bulgaria.
Right.
What a bunch of BS.
Right.
The only satisfaction we have is that Putin nailed one of them. Right.
I know you're still pretty upset about it, though.
You just say nailed.
But then you come.
Nailed or had sex.
We wake up next morning. Right. Everything is gone.
Wallet.
Our key, wallet, telephone.
Right.
I got this thing, a text message thing.
Mm-hmm. They got your sidekick.
Why
did
they need that?
Right. No, I don't know. It's not fair. A lot of people aren't kind.
Listen, I have a message. It's one little thing.
No.
We're going to hunt you down like the stinking dogs you are.
All right. Just don't get upset. That's all I'm saying.
Don't ruin my spring break.
No, I know. It's a pretty emotional topic for you. Wow. You're out trying to enjoy yourself and have it. So.
After what he just did to Ashley's reputation.
Ooh. You hook up with some gypsies. They steal you blind. Again, I know the wound's still fresh. I just...
That seriously sucked.
Yeah, no, I know.
I don't like being duped.
No, you're duped. I know, Dag.
Deaf frat guy, I have a question for you.
What's up, bro?
Will you ever love again?
So don't confuse these chicks with love.
Wow.
Because what they were, all you are, was just a bunch of skanky bitches.
Oh, no. No, you can't. If you're going to be doing news, you can't resort to that kind of language. And I know, again, you had a tough time with Ashley, the Tri-Delt, getting with Moose. You had your heart broken there. You lashed out. Now you have the gypsy women that stole the wallet and the sidekick, and you're lashing out. I agree with Dave. I hope you don't look at all women that way.
Absolutely.
You
know, can we find him a good girl?
It'd be nice,
I'd like to.
Be nice.
I'd like to help this young man out.
Right now, I'm not into love. That's for Lena. Right now, I want a piece of ass like any other normal dude.
All right.
Ooh.
All right, we need to break. Perhaps... Dag, you could slide him over one of your many bitches.
I'm solo, man. Come on, I got one girl now.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Right, that's in the Van Nuys Sherman Oaks area, and then you go outside of that area, and there's another girl. Dag, come
on. You know no motorcycle riding from me and you.
Come on, brother, man.
Give me back my leather jacket.
No.
That is it.
I want to thank David Allen Greer.
No, I don't want to thank you.
My favorite, David Allen Greer.
I don't want to thank you.
Daggeroni, my main man for coming in.
I want my air hockey puck back.
No.
Right now,
you'll not get it. Tad ate it. He thought it was a ding-dong.
Your name is Adam Cracky Rolla, not Corolla.
Thank you.
Give me back my kid names, okay? Give them back.
We'll be back. No, I'm taking Vroom.
I will sue you.
And Transmissia.
I will... It's Transmission Maxillata.
Sorry.
Differentialine.
Come on, that's a good name.
Differentialine?
We're taking a break. Ozzy's going to come back. He's going to read the Ten Commandments as a paying homage to our religious
and
week.
The deaf rat guy and Ozzy are going to do a little duet, too.
Wow. Oh, we got that to look forward to. All right, deaf rat guy, regain your composure, please.
You all right, buddy?
I'm cool, man. I'm totally mellow.
Okay. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, Ozman.
I can help draw.
Oh, wait a minute.
To where is my friend? Oh, yeah.
Ozfest, right here in the studio. I like the oh, yeah, from the heart. All right, that's enough of that.
Ozzy going with a full beard, by the way, these days.
Ozzy has an ever-changing look. some call it a fashion statement. I think he's trying to stay one step ahead of the man. You know what I mean?
I see what
you mean. Always changing the look. Kate?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. You have baby names for me?
Yeah, I think you should work in the whole construction theme. I was thinking for the girl, Makita, and for the boy, DeWalt.
Nice. Makita and DeWalt. Good name, good tool names. Mike?
Yes, I got them. Okay, for the boy, Magnum Tyson, mm-hmm. and for the girl, Lexus.
It's nice. One's a gun, the other's a car.
And also, may I make one other thing?
Yes.
I have a job for the deaf frat guy.
Mm.
He can be the spiritual advisor, deaf frat Chopra.
Ah, clever. Thanks, Mike. Okay. Yeah, I don't know about Lexus, so that's a stripper name. Donna?
Yes.
Baby names, please?
Bonnie and Clyde.
Not interesting. And last one, let's see. Sergio?
Hey, Adam, this is your Lambo mechanic in Frisco.
You're my landlady in Frisco?
Your Lambo mechanic. I'm a Lamborghini mechanic.
Oh, the Lambo mechanic in San Francisco. Yes, you work on Lamborghinis in San Francisco. That's right. You're drunk.
Not anymore, Adam.
Really? This is you sober?
That's right.
Wow.
I got good names for the kids, Adam.
All right.
How about Areola for the girl, Areola Corolla?
That's good.
I thought you'd like that. And how about either Sack or Testy for the boy?
That's nice.
Classy.
Sack, Testy Corolla. Areola, Testy, come on out. Sit down and eat.
I figured you'd dig those out.
Testy. Yeah, TNA. I like that.
Yeah.
Testy and Areola.
Hey, the boys at the shop put a lot of time into thinking those up.
Well, evidently. A hell of a lot better than Bonnie and Clyde. All right, you guys get back to synchronizing those Webers.
That's right.
All right, brother. Works on the Lambos, Lamborghinis. Now, Oswaldo. I have to write that one down, Dave. I like the Testy or the Sack.
How about
the
boxing thing? I like Cassius Corolla, which may have come up. Cassius Clay is the best name of all time.
Yeah.
Cassius Corolla, and for the girl, Sugar. Because like Sugar Ray.
Sugar's good.
A nice name. Sugar Corolla.
It's nice. Yeah. I like that, too.
All right, I'll write your other ones down. maybe Ozzy has a couple that he could offer.
We're doing a religious week all week. People are coming in. Folks from different, representing different faiths. We had a Buddhist in here on Monday. Got something in my throat, sorry. We had a rabbi come in here yesterday. We're supposed to have a priest today, but they backed out. Pussy priest.
He had a funeral to go to.
I stand by it.
Good for you.
Don't make me feel bad, Bruska. Yeah, next time it's going to be his own. And do you really go to your own funeral, or you just kind of get dragged there? Tomorrow, for me, it'd be like one of my wife's friend's weddings. I don't go. I get taken there. I would argue that the corpse has more involvement with their funeral than I do with one of my wife's friend's weddings.
Now, Buddhism, to review, you liked but weren't that impressed with. Judaism, you were very high on.
I like the noshing. I like the sense of humor.
It's going
to
be tough to beat.
Laissez-faire approach to things. Also, there's no calendar holidays for Buddhists. Come on.
Right.
Who are you guys trying to recruit with nothing on the calendar? You can't take days off work.
Nah. Yeah, she offered you a promise of heaven, but don't worry about death. Well, let's focus on the here and now.
Yeah, let's focus.
Let's celebrate life, she said.
Yeah, as long as there's brisket to eat, let's focus on that. Then we'll take a couple days off, and then when you die, we'll see what happens.
Lagayim to life, she says.
Lagayim.
Right.
All right.
Now.
Ozzy?
I hear
you. You reviewed the Ten Commandments. Yeah. Earlier in the day, early in the morning. Now you're going to actually give us the Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know these. What are they called?
Ten Commanding.
Ten what?
Commanding.
The Ten Commanding?
Yeah.
All right. Give it to us.
Los Diez Mandamientos en Español.
You're doing it in Espanol?
No, okay. In English.
Okay.
I speak English, man.
Yeah. Listen, like I said, you guys with your exotic Ferraris and your crazy yachts. Coming in here, marching on our streets, picking our lettuce, and then right back into the end zone. It's off you go at 160 miles an hour. I've had an assful of you people. Just read the Ten Commandments.
Number one, thou shalt not have a strange God before me. Number two, thou shalt not take the name the Lord thy God in vain.
So you don't take it in the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's number you're going three, to hell.
Remember thou keep the Sabbath day. Number four.
The Sabbath day?
Sabbath day.
You gotta keep the Sabbath day.
Yeah, keep the Sabbath day.
Yeah, Sundays, that's our Sabbath. Yeah.
Number four, honor the father and the mother.
So you should honor your father and your mother.
The father and the mother.
The father and the mother. All right.
Number five, thou shalt not kill.
It's funny that only made it to five. It didn't crack the top three. I would argue, go ahead and shove that one up at the top. Let's get the word out early and often on that one. Coveting your neighbor's oxen and that kind of stuff, that can wait. Let's put that right at the top. Really, you get five, we get to the halfway point before we get to the part we don't kill anybody? I could be dead by then. Thank you. Go ahead, Ozzy.
Number six, thou shalt not commit adultery.
What's that one?
Adultery.
Adultery. You know what that is?
No wash the wife to your neighbor.
Yeah. No getting on top of your neighbor's wife. Unless he's on top of your wife, and then it's cool, I believe.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Number seven, thou shalt not steal.
Another one that probably could have moved up the rankings just a little bit. If I was carving the tablets, that's what I would have done. I would have to kill and the steal, then got to some of the other lesser ones, yeah?
Yeah, my country no listen.
Yeah, they're in Nicaragua, they didn't get the steal one. Well, maybe again, if they put it higher up, a lot of people drift off after you get to four and five, yeah.
Number eight, no child to beat false witness against the neighbor.
Mm-hmm. And when they say your neighbor, they don't just mean the guy who lives next door to you. It could be anyone on your block, right?
Yep.
Okay.
All together.
Yeah, so you can't say you can't say your neighbor's a terrorist or pedophile or something unless he actually is.
He's a strong man.
Right.
Number nine, thou shalt not covet the neighbor's wife.
God. Yeah.
This is a strong man.
Yeah,
that one seemed to hit home for Ozzy. Like, maybe he covets his neighbor's wife.
Well, it's tough, too, because Ozzy lives in an apartment.
I'm applying for this direction.
He lives in an apartment. He's got 300 neighbors. It's a lot of hot wives running around.
He says he's
there.
Blind in that direction.
Believe me, he loves the ladies.
Number 10, thou shalt not covet the neighbor God.
Shouldn't covet your neighbor's God?
Good.
Goods?
Yeah.
Oh, so we shouldn't. Like if you see your neighbor dragging a sack of flour up their driveway, you shouldn't say, wow, I wish I had that.
We'll keep it.
Yeah, all right.
They really could have cut it down to nine commandments, because if you'd covet the neighbor's goods, wife is probably included.
I would argue that it's like one of those umbrella policies.
Right.
All right, well, nice job, Ozzy. Important words.
Giving us a lot to think about.
Yes.
The Ten Commander left this reviewer cold.
Oh, really? What doesn't leave him cold? Ten Commanders. Commandments, Ozzy.
Commandment.
Adam.
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 Commandments.
Commanding.
Commandments.
Commanding.
Adam.
Adam.
All right. Let's cut our losses. We'll take a break. Thank you, Oswaldo. We'll be right back after this.
This is going to be good. A song.
This is Quagmire. You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
Just a couple precious seconds left. We thought, as long as we had Def Rat Guy in the house, and as long as we had Oswaldo in the house, that these two should get together and do a duet. This would be entertaining. We have a little Willie Nelson song queued up. So just for the last few seconds, maybe you guys could jump in on this one.
The girls I loved before, who traveled in and out my door, I'm glad they came along. I dedicate this song to all the girls I loved before.
To all girls of Skyrim, I'm my and say I'm healthy best. For helping me to grow
I always lost, I know. To all gear I loved before.
You guys really need a tour.
We're talking about you, Ashley.
No, come on. Now, don't turn this personal.
The wind shall change our blowing.
And
every time I try to stay,
the wind shall
change, continue blowing.
And you carry me away.
All right, we're really out of time now. That was fantastic. I mean, you guys did a great job. I know you're pretty much just feeling Defrek, I know. Maverick, I know you're just feeling the bass and kind of into it. But that was a nice job.
Thank you.
If your buddies over at the Tea House were listening, I'm sure they enjoyed the hell out of that.
What's up, dude? Poochie, good luck on that test.
Got a test coming up tonight.
Shout out.
All right. Ozzy, nice job.
Thank you.
Wonderful job. Maverick, nice job. Defrek guy, wonderful job, buddy. Thank you for helping us out. I want to thank Christopher Anderson for being part of the show. Barbara, the way she is, that's her book. Tom Wilson. Tom Wilson's funny name of his CD, David Allen Greer. Daggeroni, my main man. What can you say about that, brother? So funny. And, of course, Defrek guy and Ozzy. Tori Spelling in tomorrow. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying mahalo.